The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From a basement full of nasty women, two bad hombres are here to present you Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe. I'm gonna stick my
feeling how stretchy your pants were.
Sometimes when you are a man, you just have to wear stretchy pants. It's comfortable.
The answer to your question is I have some.
I love that movie.
It's for fun.
It's the best.
It's the best. Nice punch to the face. Nice kick to the face.
The whole fucking movie.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Welcome to episode 4 of Thinking Outside the Long Box Podcast.
Yes, we're live.
My name's Gabe.
I'm Juan.
This
and
is
then we have a crowd.
Family.
Yay.
Nope. I'm Mel.
I don't
want
to be up.
Hi. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man.
Drink.
Yeah. So we're gonna.
It's too early to be drunk. I'll be drunk later today.
I want to start this right now. So, John Still.
Should we read the whole thing?
Yeah, let's do this. Of the Old Still Radio podcast. That's what it's called, Old Still Radio Show. Thank you for loving our show so much because that is fucking awesome. B, like you're going to get so like fucking like hammered drunk today, man. And then C, this is how I want to lead into this. So Nate, who doesn't listen,
fuck that guy.
I go over into the cooler side a couple days ago. He's all, hey, Gabe. He pulls me over. I'm like, what, Nate? Like, I'm trying to work, asshole. What do you want? He's all, hey, I got an issue. I was like, with what? He's all, your podcast's drinking game. I was all, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? He's all, so I saw your drinking game for the podcast. Why the fuck am I not one of the things? So John, we are going to have to add an extra in-house rule that every time we say Nate who doesn't listen,
fuck that guy,
you have to drink. So there's that extra rule. Marika also brought up a rule yesterday at the swap meet, but I don't remember what it was because I'm not getting very much sleep.
Fail.
Oh, are you having issues with your pop filter like I did?
Drink.
God damn,
Gabe. Is it because you're so young?
No. Now it's because my shit was loose.
So for those of you who...
Morgan, early! You two should leave it to the appropriate context.
Oh, whatever. For those of you who haven't seen this on the Facebook page, Juan, why don't you give us a rundown of the Old Still Radio Show podcast, Thinking Outside the Long Box, Drinking
That's
Game Rules.
That
is a lot of fucking words.
So game rules, you must drink every time Gabe says the word like.
One.
Two, Juan doesn't get a cool reference because he's so young. Side note, I get a lot of references. Fuck you. Three, John has to explain a cool reference to Juan. Yeah, fuck you again.
he hasn't even been here in like 3 months.
Four, Gabe in some way slips in that he knows more about comics than other people. That's a good one. I do too,
because I am a condescending asshole.
Five, Juan subliminally slips in that he sells cars in hopes that you will come buy one.
Honda of Greeley, Greeley, Colorado.
I messaged him after I saw this, and I was like, hey, I like your drinking game, and by the way, I sell fucking cars.
You should have been like, are you in... Hey, you said something
market?
About cars.
Yeah,
you're in the market for Honda.
Six, John casually drops a word with four or more syllables like it's a normal conversation. Seven, Gabe...
Just for the record, conversation has four syllables.
Oh, shit. Seven, Gabe talks about his bisexual prowess with his friends and coworkers.
Dude.
Mel laughed wherever she is.
Just so you know, I can get any dick hard.
8, Juan yells at the other two for not knowing how to work the equipment.
I literally just spent 15 minutes trying to get my fucking mic thing to work today.
Oh, shit. 9, John plugs the Hall of Justice at halljustice.com.
And in real life, in Parker, Colorado.
And 10, Gabe's kids and wife prove that they're so much cooler than him.
Literally all the time. And of course, number 11, anytime we mention Nate who doesn't listen, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy, yeah.
So just right now, you had to take 11 shots. I think what I meant to say is you had to, like, take 11 shots.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, man. Thank you for posting that, man. That was a lot of fun. Seriously, we love interacting with you guys. We love interacting specifically with John and, like, with just all of you people that get on our page and give us grief and tell us cool things. And I don't know. It's awesome. We really appreciate that. We had a lot of fun.
A lot, yes.
So second half of starting this show. Somebody sent me this, and I can't remember who it was. It was probably either Dom or Tim Husky.
Did you see that? Did you see that? I was going to say, did you see he's referring to himself as the butt plug enthusiast? Yeah.
Tim, it's good to know what you do in your spare time. A man, I mean, art is your livelihood. You have to have hobbies. So, Juan, have you heard of the Little Rooster?
I have not.
So the Little Rooster is basically a little, like, clit tickler that is connected to a little
the
box.
The clit tickler just sounds funny by itself. That should be a fucking – that should be a toy right there.
Well, yeah, it is a toy. That the little box has an alarm clock on it. Okay. And so you stick it in the underwears – and then in the morning, you wake up happy.
Ah, okay. Like,
it slowly pulses vibration.
Let me see.
Oh.
Here, it's right here.
Let me see. Hey, what's that, guys? How much is it?
69 euros. I don't know what that equates to in American dollars.
That'd be like $75 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like $75, $80. Jesus Christ, fucking expensive.
I'll just tap you after my alarm clock goes off. That's not free. That's not what I sound like.
I know it's not what you sound like.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's way worse.
She but, sounds like the fucking Exorcist or what?
Fuck me, Jesus. Hey, you're the one that brought up the Exorcist.
Oh, man.
I get to just say that out loud.
Oh, all right, man. Let's see. Let's see here.
Nibble round 3 fingers of a 4-finger bar. Bite the end off the 4th and wrap it all up in cling film.
The fuck?
Tuck your chocolate rooster into the front of your knickers with the leg nestling between your thighs but outside your body. Then have a good roll around in bed. Once you're satisfied the little rooster stays in place and is virtually unnoticeable however much you toss and turn or cross your legs. Look onto little rooster.
So that goes in you.
And enter a parallel universe where you love warnings.
It looks like a razor.
It so, does kind of look like a razor.
So it's like the size of like 3 Kit Kat bars, basically, is what he was saying. Not like 3 Kit Kat sticks, not bars.
My little rooster, what's going on here? Let's see what like this like what this lady's bars. Doing.
Just waking up.
Is it like advertised somewhere? That's pretty blurry.
Edit that part out. That's lame.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's like some crap 90s porn video.
That's weird.
I think it's just video of his girlfriend gross. Waking up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Disgusting.
What is
candy
that?
Corn candy corn Oreos.
Okay, we can
candy
talk.
Corn is
we can talk about
itself.
How nasty. We can talk about how nasty Oreos have gotten laters, or right now.
I've gotten laters.
Fucking sweet. I'm just not awake yet.
You couldn't get the fucking thing to work. I just got it done in 2 seconds.
And I literally can't. I can't get anything to work. Like, I'm not awake yet. That's all. Juan's all,
be here early. I want to be here early.
Oh, Jesus. This is quality programming.
Kirk, like the Captain Kirk.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That'll come up later. Mm-hmm. Edit that out. Kirk!
No. Kirk!
Kirk, like
Captain
Kirk. Now you get all our... anyway, so little rooster vibrating alarm clock.
It looks weird. So you stick one part of it in you, and then the actual alarm clock part sits on, like, your legs or something?
No, it sits, like, kind of, like, on your pelvis
area. Yeah. I feel like that would be so uncomfortable.
I don't know. I figure, like, it'd be like if you fell asleep with your cell phone in your pocket. Like, it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, except for if your cell phone had something stuck inside of you. Yeah.
But I guess females put tampons in every fucking month.
I don't think they sleep with them in, though, because that can give you toxic shock.
Can it?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I don't know nothing about periods, so.
No. I got told that, like, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, on average, most people don't sleep more than, like, 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, that's true.
So you do sleep with a tampon in.
You can.
No, there you go.
So I guess it wouldn't be that bad. So, would it be that bad? I don't know. I don't have a vagina.
Okay, let's educate you fuckers. So that thing there is way... Oh, yeah. That thing there, the stick that goes inside your hoo-ha...
It's about as long as Gabe.
You can say pussy. Donald Trump says it.
Should I grab it?
Yeah, if you want. Right. I don't have one, so...
So, but no, it's thinner than, like...
I killed a fly.
Oh. It's got Tourette's. Don't worry about that.
Bird! Oh, Marika's going to be so pissed off about that super loud noise.
I am too when I listen at work. I'm going to listen at work and Bob's going to look at me. Anyway. So the part that goes inside your vagina is much slimmer than, like, say, a normal to super tampon. We can take a lot in there.
No, I didn't say you could or you couldn't take a lot. My question was,
has a huge badge? What the fuck, man?
But I assure you, it's not.
So, I was just curious as to how comfortable that would be.
I don't know.
That would be to sleep in.
And it has sharp edges and it's plastic. I mean, it does run
just the little box connected to it seems a little...
The little box connected to the little box.
the insert part seems all rounded off. Everything else seems to have pretty soft corners, too.
I don't know how, like...
Go upstairs, Sophia.
You have to go upstairs.
Jesus Christ.
I just wonder, like, as far as, like, hygienically, are you have something like that? Because it's plastic.
Well, I mean, you could wash it off.
Giannis.
But it's only in there for, like you said, a few hours. And it's not like, I mean, I would hope that you wash it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, me too. That would be kind of gross if you didn't. Ugh.
Yeah.
There's some nasty women out there.
There are some nasty women out there.
And that's not just funny. That's the
for
truth.
For the record, we love nasty women.
Not though. I don't love those kind of nasty women.
Oh, I love all sorts of nasty women.
Getting checked out if you love
enough. No, I don't.
Hey, fucking
like
penis is gonna fall off.
Too late. No.
After the fourth kid, that's what happens.
Have I told you the ghost ball story?
No. Okay. I think you have actually.
Have I told it on the show?
I think so.
Okay, never mind.
Yes, you have.
All right.
Because she knows she's catching up.
I was about to drop the ghost ball story.
I'm behind. I only have to listen to 44.
Well, after this week, you're gonna be fucking five behind.
I had to stop listening because I was listening to the Denver Comic Con one, and Kenshi was on, and my boss sits about 10 feet away from me, and I kept getting this stinky eyeball, and I finally got the hand on the hip, and he goes, "What are you listening to? Is that your husband's podcast again?" And I'm like, "Yeah," and he goes, "I think that should go off." I got yelled at for you.
That's awesome. Banned in one
nice.
Workplace.
Nice. I like it.
Let us know if the podcast has been banned in your workplace, listeners. That would be awesome.
I just turned off.
They ain't nothing to fuck with. And there goes my wife. She's like, "Oh, you guys are done talking about sex toys? I'm out."
Let me know when the clit talk comes back.
Okay, so
you're reminding her.
Let's talk about stuff, pop culture shit. Two huge trailers dropped this
Yes.
year. So
one wasn't really a trailer as much as it was like a sneak little
peek. Which one you want to talk about? Guardians?
It was good. It was funny
yeah. for starters. You need to find someone pathetic like you.
So the beautiful part about it was that it was serious up until that moment. Up until Drax gets on the screen and he's talking, it's very serious up until then. And then he's fucking just hilarious because he's so fucking like, I don't know that he's necessarily dumb as much as, I don't know, what would you call it? Would you call it dumb?
No, he's not dumb. He's super literal.
Right.
Like, so everything his race says is literal.
Right.
So he takes everything literally. And it feels like, especially with the little scene at the end where he's like, do you need a hug? And Star-Lord's like, no. And he goes in for the hug anyways, that he's trying to learn
right.
how to not be that way. And so as a consequence, I feel like there's going to be a lot of humor where he's like, but you humans say things sarcastically.
So I thought I said no.
So I think that's kind of where they're going with that, and that's really cool. Like, that'll be
But fun. I mean, you don't expect, or I don't expect Guardians of the Galaxy to be a very serious movie. I mean, the first one was damn near a comedy, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was like an action-packed comedy, almost.
And they won't get rid of that tone.
No, it was perfect.
Like,
it was perfect.
It'll have to be fun, so... I mean, I feel like it's the best part of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Right.
Like when it came out, it was my favorite
right.
Marvel movie, you know? And the Ant-Man was the same way. It had that, like, you know, it's funny, but it's serious. Like, you know, that's the scene when Ant-Man, you know, shrinks down and goes into, like, the alternate universe of, like, microbes and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I was like, okay, Doctor Strange is going to be awesome. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, it was like, okay, they can take, like, second-tier characters and do something really
right.
inventive and funny and cool with them while also introducing, like, a whole new aspect of, like, the world.
Right.
So,
and some of that has to do with it just being Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, you could – at this point, I think you could pretty much put any fucking superhero up on the screen and somebody's going to love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they have so much – I mean, there's so much body of work
right.
that they can deal with. It's kind of genius for them to start doing this now
right.
instead of, you know, like 40 years ago. A, the technology wasn't there to make movies like that. And B, like, there's just so much that they can deal with. Like, I was, you know, obviously Marvel doesn't have, like, the official rights to, like, Fantastic
right.
Four. But I read Doctor Strange Triumph and Torment, which is, like, it's one of the Marvel graphic novels. I want to say it was, like, from the 80s. But it's Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom, okay? And in it...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you put a picture up of it.
In it, it tells both of their origin stories and then also this really cool story about how Doctor Doom tries to win the contest for Sorcerer Supreme. And then when he loses to Doctor Strange owes Doom a boon, like a gift, okay? And Doom has Strange try to help rescue his mother's soul from Mephisto in hell. Okay, so it's both of their origin stories and this really cool story
nice.
That they could totally use as a movie to reintroduce the Fantastic
right.
Four. You know, like, there's so many, like, one-offs and, like, cool, like, you know, like the Marvel graphic novels or, like, you know, what-ifs and stuff
right.
like that. There's so many things that they could do with the universe because they have such a huge volume of, like, amazing work. And, like, I kind of poo-poo on Marvel and DC on the show because right now they're not the best. Like, it's not the best stuff that's coming out, but their past has got so much great stuff that they could deal with that I almost feel like where Marvel fails a lot of the time at the comic books, they're really succeeding at, like, the movies and the TV shows.
Well, that's driving the money.
Well, and I feel like at what point do we say, okay, Marvel is, like, this powerhouse of something else now.
Right.
Like, what they're coming out with the comic books, it's all right. But there's so much ground that they are retreading or that just kind of bland that I feel like their new canon of work, the things that people are going to be talking about in 20 or 30 years, is going to be – Daredevil on Netflix, Luke Cage on Netflix, like the Avengers, like phase one and two, like those are the things that in 20, 30 years people are going to remember Marvel for.
And we got to remember, for every one Gabe that there is in the world, there's one Mike Murray in the world who fucking loves all of that stuff. So, I mean,
but he's wrong.
So. Oh, drink. Somebody drink.
Yeah, because I know way more about comics than Mike Murray. Not true.
it's a taste thing, obviously, but they're doing something right. They're doing something right that DC's not. And it's not as, I don't read much DC comics, and it's not because I don't like them. I just don't, not much pulls my fancy. I don't, you know, yeah. Not much catches my attention. And I don't even, I haven't read a comic book in God knows how long because of how fucking busy this end of the year is for me. But like you said, Marvel is something else. They're a conglomerate of a shit ton of different things that it's working. They're making a ton of money.
It's not just like the movies, TV, and comic books either. It's like video games and cartoons and like all sorts of shit, man. Like there's a ton of shit out
there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been fucking phenomenal. Like it's turned a corner that I loved the second season more than I liked the first season. But this third season is just something else so far.
It's amazing. Like everybody who's listened to this show like more than once knows that I fucking love Ghost Rider. Like here's a perfect example of like what I feel like is happening right now. I work with this girl named Vivian. Like I don't really talk to her very often because she's in like the quality lab and she works overnight, so I just don't see her very often. But she was filling in for someone on vacation. I was like, hey, did you see the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer? She's like, yeah, it was awesome. She's like, it's really cool what's coming out, like what's happening in movies and TV.
Right.
She goes, you know, I mean, Gotham is back on and The Flash is about to be on and The Arrow's happening. And then there's also Guardians of the Galaxy coming out and then the Doctor Strange movie. And like everything she said, like her excitement level just ratcheted up. And then she's all, and holy shit, the new season of Supergirl. And I'm like, I mean, and she's just like on and on and on. And like, as she kept going, like she got more and more excited. And I realized that she had mentioned like 15, 20 different things from like both of the major, DC and Marvel. And also when you really think about it, like she snuck in Walking Dead and some other stuff. So we're talking like Vertigo and like my Image. God.
Side note, I cannot wait for fucking tonight. Ugh. I'm so excited.
So I haven't watched any of season 6. So I'm going to, I know what happens like, cause fucking everybody knows that it's like Negan about to Negan kill died? Motherfuckers black, you know?
He died.
He does not die. So like, I'm comfortable watching the season premiere without watching like the season.
Oh, that's
like,
blasphemy.
Nah. That's blasphemy. Dude, I've read the comic books. I have a general idea of what happened, yeah. You know? There's some bullshit between some personalities. They were in a town. Fucking wolves and zombies attack. Everybody fucking dies. Carl gets shot in the face.
That's true.
The face. True. So,
but back to our original point, Guardians of the Galaxy was fun. It was good. Yeah, it looked good. I don't understand some things that happened. I don't know how Rocket Raccoon got with
Yondu.
But it seems like they're going in normal motion and there's just fucking people just falling in slow motion beside them.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that the first time and I looked back on it and I was like, is that people falling from the sky? Like, I didn't understand what was going on. But it's
baby
cool.
Groot,
yeah,
tiny
at
baby
the very
Groot
end, that
shoulder.
Was cool. Yeah. Yeah.
With as much as Baby Groot stole the show, like, at the end of the first Guardians of the Galaxy, it's going to be even worse. Like, I'm going to have to listen to my 5-year-old talk about Groot for, like, months.
But the Drax and what's his name? Drax and Star-Lord stole the trailer.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
it was
perfect. They're the point of the trailer.
Yeah, it was fucking
perfect. Like you said, it was more like a little sneak peek. Right. It was less of a trailer and more of a, hey, here's a little bit of Drax and Star-Lord being asshats. And Chris Pratt is like a really good choice for that. You know, he's a great comedic actor. He's really funny, but he clearly has the chops to like be action-y too.
Right.
You know, he showed it in Guardians of the Galaxy. He showed it in Jurassic World, you know. So it's a good time, man. I loved the first one. I can't wait for the second one.
What was the next one?
Logan.
The next trailer.
Holy shit.
I have not been excited for a... And I don't even know if you'd call this an X-Men movie, you know what I mean?
It is an X-Men movie in that it's about Wolverine
right.
and X-23, you know? And it's got Xavier in it. Like, it's clearly in that Sony
It's in the
X-Men
universe. Oh, yeah. You know? And that's not what I meant. But like, I didn't know if it would... To me, it's more like a Wolverine movie instead of an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
And it looked... It was more exciting for me than anything they've put out in that universe so far.
I literally have not been excited for anything in the X-Men universe since maybe, like...
The first time?
First Class I was pretty excited about, and then it ended up being just kind of meh.
Nah.
And so, like, all of them I've just been kind of like, meh, whatever.
Right.
Like, I'll get to it eventually.
And the pairing of that trailer with fucking the Johnny Cash rendition of Hurt, perfect.
Dude.
Like, it was so good.
It's like, oh, you guys can take a movie seriously and make a good movie?
Right.
Why the fuck haven't you been doing that for, like, the last, like, 10 years?
Right.
Like, why didn't you do that with any of this stuff? Like, Age of Apocalypse or anything? Like, Age of Apocalypse should have been, like, a 3-movie arc.
Right.
You know? Between like an X-Men movie and something else, you know. But I mean, holy shit, dude! It just looks so good. It looks, you know, it's got that kind of like brown like overlay. Everything looks muted and earth tones, but like serious. And man, like Hugh Jackman just looks awesome with the beard and the grumpiness.
Well, and I'm watching in the trailer because it had just come out, and we're in trailers because we're doing construction at the Honda of Greeley store that I work at. But so we're in trailers, so we're kind of off to the side, and there's a few of us in there, so I turned it on because I hadn't seen it yet. And people were like, why does Wolverine have scars everywhere? Like, why is he old? I thought he couldn't age, and I thought he couldn't do some of these things. And I don't even know the answer to that. I assume he just ages really, really slowly, I think, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to get old at some point. And watching him kind of go through the trailer, and the part that got me, that probably got a lot of people, is you're watching, everybody's fighting, and then all of a sudden the dude pops up and he goes, woof, and he fucking jabs him through his skull with his fucking...
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit! Like, I was like, whoa! It just kind of jumped out at me. It was cool. I loved the trailer.
I mean, it takes itself seriously.
Right.
It's going to be... My understanding is it's going to be rated R, because they had so much fucking success with the rated R Deadpool movie that they're like, oh... We can do this? It's like, yeah, you can do that. Like, everybody was clamoring for that.
Rated
forever.
R doesn't mean, like, fucking it has to be overtly over-the-top killing and like Deadpool was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it can just be rated R because it's got, like, those 4 or 5 incidences
right.
of violence or, like, a couple extra swear words
right.
in it. Like, if you push a movie from PG-13 to R because you want the movie to be serious and to take the subject matter seriously, it's fine. Like, comic book fans and, like, Marvel movie fans and, like, in general, moviegoers will accept that. Like, so many of, like, and I'm not saying Logan is going to get nominated for an Oscar, for the record.
And he might, fuck.
But I'm saying, like, so many of the Oscar-nominated movies that get huge box office numbers and huge buzz are rated R because they're talking about something seriously and they're taking it
right.
seriously. And the reality is that real life is rated R. Like,
right.
you fucking shelter your children until they're a certain age. Some people do, not you necessarily, but like, and not me necessarily, but some people shelter their children. The reason you feel the need to shelter your children is because life
You know
is,
what it's like.
Life is fucking rated hard
right.
R. Like, there's a million assholes out there. There's a million people being mean to each other and terrible
right.
to each other. So if you're going to take subject matter seriously, it's okay to make it rated R
right.
because, like, we went to see my wife and I went to see The Lobster, like, a few months ago. It's a weird, like, avant-garde semi-romantic comedy with Rachel Weisz and Colin some – he's that Australian guy that always gets in fights and stuff. Anyway, but – So we went to see it, but before we saw it, these people were coming out of the movie theater who had just seen it, right? And like, there's a couple scenes of like active violence in the movie, okay? And some weird, like some really weird sex stuff, not like graphic sex, but it's just like really strange. Like the way it happens is right. really strange. The lobster. So this lady comes out and she's like, I've never seen a movie so bloody and so disgusting or heard anything so vile in my life. I'm all, do you live in like the world? Like this is, people are mean to each other. Like people kill animals, like because a dog dies in it, you know, because and nobody wants the dog to die. Jesus Christ.
That was like a hard part to watch in the fucking Will Smith movie.
And in Old Yeller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That happened a shit ton of a long time ago, but yeah.
Spoiler alert, that fucking dog dies. Asshole.
I don't think it dies as much as they pretty much kill it.
But, you know, but it was like this weird, for me, it was this weird disconnect where this person's right. like, I've never seen or heard or experienced anything that was as bad as that. And when I got done with the movie, I was like, what was bad about that? Like, have you never been on an internet comment thread? Like, I mean, what? That's weird. Like, how have you made it? Because this woman's like 70.
Ooh,
like,
wow.
How have you made it 70 years and not, you know, heard somebody say right. something vile or seen something like, I've seen dead animals before.
Right.
Like, and I'm barely 30, whatever I am.
You know? I'm barely 38.
Yeah, thanks. But it's just real life is rated hard on.
It's hard. It's hard.
It's life is hard. Life is shitty. And sometimes when you're making a movie that you want people to take seriously, it's going to end up being rated R.
Right.
And if you're like, you know, I understand for numbers and finances, like you're trying to get that PG-13 rating because you want more people to go. Right. And statistically, way more people go right. to PG-13 movies than R movies. But it's part of a franchise. It's the end of a franchise. You want to tell a super serious fucking right. story. If it ends up being rated R, awesome. Just let it go.
Right.
Let it be what it's supposed to be. Sometimes the story needs that.
And I've yet
Clerks
to see.
Clerks 2 needed to be rated R because otherwise we don't get a donkey scene.
And I've never seen, or not never, but I haven't seen so much excitement for this whole franchise like there is for this movie.
Ever.
And
like not since and that's, way right. when it started
and
out.
And that has nothing to do with its rating. It has nothing to do with, you know, whatever. It's because I didn't know it was rated R. I don't think anybody around me knew it was rated R when we watched the trailer.
Right.
It just comes off so much more serious. It doesn't come off like a cartoon X-Men show. You know what I mean?
It doesn't look corny.
Right.
It doesn't look cheesy. And like what's annoying is that's what I loved about the cartoon when I was a kid. Is like, sure, the cartoon had corny moments.
Sure,
Jubilee is, like, for a lot of people, unfortunately, is, like, a throwaway character made specifically for the cartoons, whatever. But, like, there were tons of moments where their relationships were taken seriously.
Right.
The threat that they were up against was serious. Like, the stakes in the cartoon were higher a lot of the time than they are in the movies.
Right.
Like, you know they're going to win in the end of the movies because there's not as wide of a cast of characters and they like fucking telegraph that shit from beginning to end, you know? This one, we don't know what's going to happen to Wolverine.
And
we don't know what's going to happen to Nyx, you know,
right.
to X-23.
Right.
Like, you know, they could diverge from the books. They may not, but it's taking itself seriously and it's indicating from the get-go in the trailer, serious stakes, high stakes, to the point where Wolverine, who has been searching for peace his whole
right.
really long existence, walks away from peace to solve a problem one last time. Like, that looks fucking awesome. I want to see that.
And so I think the issue with people knowing, like, okay, it's an X-Men movie, they're going to fight somebody, and then that there's going to be a happy ending, is because they have yet to master, like you said, Apocalypse should have been, you know, maybe a two or three movie, you know, an arc. Because or else, you know that Apocalypse isn't going to win. He's not going to fucking, you know what I mean? If you know there's a three-part movie to it, or he's in three of these parts, you know the first two may or may not have, like, good settlements. Yes. They may not settle themselves, which is perfect with what, like, you know, and I hate comparing them because it sucks, but it's perfect to what Marvel's doing. Civil War ended with fucking people scattered everywhere and people almost dead, and you go away going, fuck, there was not like a happy, like, shit. Like, I walked away from that movie knowing everything was okay. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's not.
Right.
And
right.
Like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's still not.
Right.
You know, things are fucked up. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s fucked up. Like, you know, they don't know really what to do with themselves. Like, the leadership is, like, muddled, and the Inhumans are all over the place. Like, I mean, it's exactly that. Like, there's stakes. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's okay for them to leave it hanging like that, because you know you got like 8,000 fucking movies coming out in the next 2 months, you know? That was an exaggeration, but...
Oh, God damn it, John.
What?
He just jumped on Skype when I told him we were going to record until our interview at 8:30.
So in 8 minutes.
Yeah, here. I'm gonna jump on.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello. What's up?
Oh, nothing. We're actually going to take a break because Gabe's got to record an interview here in about 7 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought that's what I said. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I love you. It's nice to hear your voice.
I love you, too.
It's so sensual.
I got a hug yesterday.
It did.
It moved.
Are you tired?
Me?
Yeah, you sound kind of tired.
Absolutely.
How's the two-kid life now that you're getting used to it?
It's tiring.
How's the shop?
At the grandparents' house this weekend, so...
Oh, it's nice.
Just Carissa and I and Oliver, so that's nice.
Nice.
Nice. One less terrorist.
Yes, exactly.
how's the shop, Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles in Parker, Colorado, going?
Thank you for the plug.
take a drink, John. Not you, John. Other John.
Other John.
No, how's
it going? Really well. It's going crazy well. Like, we had to bring somebody on to help out on Tuesday and Friday, and I have another gal that comes in on Saturday to help out. So shit's getting done, which is awesome.
Who are those people?
Dan Carter and Alex Marufo.
Never heard of them.
Are they interesting to talk to? Because you could send them to the show in your stead because you're so busy and don't like us anymore.
Shut up. That's not the case at all.
I'm kidding.
Dick holes. I didn't even say anything.
Not your pal, dick face.
Guilty by association.
John, I told him the other day that you don't love them anymore.
That's bullshit. I don't even... No.
You have to care to love.
Totally false.
So we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy trailer and the Logan trailer. Let's hear what you have to say about some of that stuff, because we haven't heard anything from you in a long time.
I'm pumped for the Guardians trailer. That looks awesome. But everybody, I mean, it's kind of to be expected, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's got to be awesome. Like, the first one was so good. It's the same cast coming back. Like, it has to be awesome. I feel like there's no way for it not to be awesome.
I agree.
It'll pick it up.
It better.
Pick it up. The Logan trailer, I don't know.
What?
Really?
Yeah, I just... It's, See I don't what know, you did? It's all weird and... I don't know.
We were just we were just licking its balls just 2 seconds ago.
We literally were. Like, dude, it looks so good. Like, it looks like it's taking itself so seriously, like, in the good way.
True. That's true. I agree with that. So hopefully, I don't know, so you go from the Wolverine movie to this, and you're like, well, how do we get there? Is this going to be... Like post Days of Future Past, I just don't know.
What?
When will then be now?
Post Days of Future Past.
Right? I don't know.
I'm not a Wolverine guy. I'm not invested in that character. I don't really care.
See, I don't either. Like, I'm not a huge Wolverine fan. Like, I mean, I'm not a huge X-Men fan, really. So it's it'll just be interesting to see them do one of these movies where they, like, actually take it seriously, where there's, like, actual stakes and it's – I mean, it's sure. done right. And that's something that I don't think they've really done with the X-Men movies for a really long time.
Like, I'll tell you what I am excited to see. I'm excited to see him stab a guy in the head. Because he has fucking knife hands, and his knife hands are never bloody, even though he's chopping up people. Right, but there's never a drop of blood on those fucking things.
John, they're so, mutants. Mutants don't have blood.
Shut up, Juan.
Oh, I missed you.
Hey, could you let Juan know that he doesn't get something because he's really young?
Yeah, Juan, you are an idiot because you're how old? Like 12?
I was going to answer that question, you asshole.
Well, you don't need to.
I know. I know. Thank you.
Here, Hannah has something. Hannah has something that she has to say or she won't say.
That's awesome.
Do you?
Yes.
I don't know how I missed it. It was on our fucking thread for like a week before I saw it.
Because you're fucking 12 and you don't know how to operate.
Drink.
God damn it, John.
Hold on. Hannah yes. has something important that she needs to relay to everybody.
All right.
Hannah got a she fart farted. Toy.
No, you gotta hold up to the mic the whole time it farts.
All right, now go upstairs, dorks.
All right, buddy. Are you gonna be around in about 30 minutes?
So you're telling me that I've been replaced.
By a fart toy.
Yeah, exactly. So is this, am I off the show again?
No! You took yourself off the show. You haven't been around in like 2 months.
Whatever.
Wait, whatever.
He's running a business. God, get off his dick.
Business schmizness.
He just hired 2 people. He's fine.
Hello? No. Oh.
Hello? Hey, Wilkes. Are you going to be around in about 30 minutes?
Did you just put me on pause or something, S?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I will be around in 30 minutes or so.
Okay.
Well, why don't you?
Let's cut. We gotta take a break for an interview real quick.
Okay.
And why don't you take us to break in the way only you can, John?
And we're back!
That's backwards!
All right, buddy. We'll see you in a bit.
Hey, this is Wes Robinson from Blair Witch, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. On the line, we have Yehudi Mercado of Hero Hotel with Fanbase Press. How are you today, Yehudi?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. A little sleepy, but good. So, Yehudi, we'd like to...
Yeah, 7:30 here.
Oh, wow. So you're even less awake than I am.
Yeah.
So we like to start off all of our interviews kind of with the same basic question. What is the origin story of Hero Hotel?
The origin story of Hero Hotel... I always, on all my stuff that I write and draw, I always like to focus on the sort of the unsung heroes of the group or of a story. So like my first book is about pizza delivery drivers, and then I have another one about like garbage men in space called Rocket Salvage. So I always like to focus on the characters that are like that would normally be the extras in someone else's story. And I thought it'd be really funny to do something set in a hotel where superheroes frequented, but it's more about the staff that has to deal with the heroes.
That's awesome. It's so the story is about a little guy who named Chet and his cat, who he's basically the bellboy at this hotel for superheroes, correct?
Yeah. So there's Chet. He's the main character. His grandmother runs the place, but she doesn't realize they're actually superheroes. She thinks they're just rock and rollers who dress weird. One of the fun little twists is that he doesn't really like superheroes. Like, so he doesn't go gaga over them because he basically sees them at their worst when they're on vacation. So they're really needy. They never pick up after themselves. And then when a supervillain strikes, they don't really lift a finger to help. It's really up to Chet and Boomer to save the day.
Nice. So they're kind of like, it's kind of like the Courage the Cowardly Dog, where everybody around him has like no idea what's really going on, and he's just like this poor little dog that has to deal with all the craziness.
yeah. And then to round out the staff, there's the bellhop. Basically, he either wants to become a psychic someday or keeps trying to get super prepared. And then there's a cosplay girl who's in the kitchen. And then there's a fallen superhero who has to work at the hotel as community service.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
he's super embittered.
So your comic book style is very like cartoony, and I read that you have a background in animation. Like, how is it that you made kind of a transition from animation into drawing comic books?
Well, basically, just over the years pitching shows and trying to get my own cartoons made. It's taken a while. And animation is very time consuming. So when I started to do comics, basically it's a way I could just create my idea from scratch and get it realized and basically just do it myself.
Right. And not have to spend nearly so much time on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully someday these become cartoons. But in the meantime, I'm sort of just barreling ahead and creating it myself.
So I also read that you were an art director at Disney. What's it like working for, arguably the biggest animation company on the face of the earth?
Yeah. Well, it was Disney Interactive. So I worked in the games division, which was great. It was fun. But it's a little frustrating sometimes. But I did, one of the best things I got to work on was the Guardians of the Galaxy mobile game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was great. And I got to co-write that with Dan Abnett.
Fine.
And I did all the art direction. Yeah. That was amazing.
It's interesting, it's always kind of in the back of your head when you're talking about all of the Marvel properties that technically Disney owns them. But then you think about it when you talk to somebody that works for Disney and they're like, oh, yeah, I worked on Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. It's kind of cool. Did you get to touch on the Marvel properties fairly regularly, or was it just kind of...
Yeah, because I did some concept art and some initial stuff on the Avengers Alliance game.
Oh, and then, man, I played the crap out of that.
And then after the Guardians game, I moved over to Disney Consumer Products because they were working on Toys to Life property or Toys to Life project. And that one was, we worked with basically all the Avengers characters. Yeah.
What's the Toys to Life project? I'm not sure what that is.
So there was it didn't do very well. So so it was last year it was called Playmation. So it was a good idea. Basically, it was a way to have kids play video games but not be tied to a screen.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually they would put on an Iron Man arm toy and you would almost play laser tag with your action figures. And there'd be a speaker in the arm and it would almost DM you hey, there's a robot coming to your left, shoot it, and you shoot.
Oh, that's cool. So almost like a VR game. Or something that you would play, an alternate reality game that you would play on your cell phone kind of idea. But with, a wearable, a toy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and then there was a whole line of action figures and you pop them on this base and then if you shot, you shot at the base, it would light up and then it would sort of pop them off when you won.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it was a good idea, but but it was it was a little too ahead of its time.
You should have marketed it to 38-year-old nerds. And I would have bought the crap out of that.
I know. That was the problem. It was because Hasbro was a partner, they were no, it's got to be for 6-year-olds. And then it just became way too confusing. Yeah, kids could not really play it on their own. They needed supervision. Yeah, there were some technical glitches, but it was a noble effort.
Nice. Hey, all great video game technology at one point started out as the power glove. So it's not there's a starting point somewhere that somebody's going to hunt down in 20 years and be super proud that they own it. So, with, you know, with Hero Hotel, you know, you have this kind of this quirky, cool story. Like, what is it that like really inspired you to like kind of to dig into like these characters, like you said, that are like the background characters of, you know, superhero or space drama? Like, what is it that drives you to like look at those guys that are in the background, you know, kind of like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the of the comic book world?
I don't know. I mean, I've always felt marginalized, I guess. So it's sort of focusing on like the people who would not normally be the stars of the movie. So like I think it's neat to sort of focus on those people. Yeah.
There's quite a few guest contributors. Like, who all is helping you work on the book, and like, how did those kind of interactions come about? Like, you know, what got the ball rolling with working with these guys?
Well, like, because I've worked for like some of the Adventure Time comics and Uncle Grandpa comics for Boom, so I always liked that. Oh, those books had those backup stories with different styles, and different writers. So when it came time to doing Hero Hotel with Fanbase, basically they said, like, oh, if you can get it done by this date, we could have it on, you know, out on the shelves by this November. So I was like, oh, that'd be great. And so I thought to myself, like, oh, I could probably knock out the main story myself, but it would be nice to have backup stories. Because it kind of makes the property feel bigger, you know, like it's right. Got some legacy to it.
Fleshes out the world a little bit more, because you get to see like other aspects or different ways. Like I love some there's times when I'm reading a book and like the main story is great, but sometimes the backup stories like blow it away. Like I remember like the Stephen King backup in American Vampire and some of the backup stories in Harrow County. Like
they
do exactly that. They like give you a glimpse at like just a slightly different aspect of the world. It's almost like you're taking the marginalized characters and focusing on them, and then like the even more marginalized aspect of the world as a backup story. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, and it's a gag-driven book, so you know, you can easily come up with different gags for these, you know, the hotel staff to get into. And it doesn't have to feel so linear, like, oh, this could happen whenever in the story.
Who all is helping you work on the book with the backup stories?
So my buddy Dennis Culver, he's worked on Edison Rex. Oh, what is the – he just wrote a X-Men thing. X is for Extinction. Is that a thing, right?
Yeah. I think so. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't read a ton of superhero books, so I'm probably not the right person to ask.
Yeah. But yeah, basically all the friends I've made going to conventions over the past like 5 or 6 years. So yeah, my the Devastator, you know, Devastator Press, they do like the comedy quarterly. So yeah, Jeffrey and Amanda contributed. You know, Justin Peterson, he does a book called Very Near Mint.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a buddy of mine. So he, I thought it'd be funny to do like movie posters in the book, like based on the fake superheroes at the hotel. So like the main, like the superhero, the Superman knockoff, his name is Noble Metal. So we did like a movie poster, like as if like the Noble Metal movie was coming soon.
Right. Looking at it right now, it looks hilarious. Like he's got his giant chin and his curly Q haircut.
Yeah.
You know, when you're working on the book, you know, you're coming up with all these different superheroes that end up being kind of the side characters for your story. Are all of them like analogs like that? Are all of them, you know, this is our Superman, this is our Wonder Woman, this is our
pretty much
Hulk or whatever.
It
seems perfect because you can build so many gags off of like all of these other properties without actually having to use the other properties because everybody's so familiar with them.
Yeah, and it's funny too because there's always like there's even analogs within Marvel and DC, you know,
like, right?
Like Aquaman, Submariner, you know, like
Deathstroke, how different and Deadpool.
So it's fun to play with these. And I think it would also be fun if, you know, even if you don't read any superhero book, I think you'll still get the jokes, basically. They're so pervasive in our culture now.
Absolutely. Do you think the superhero genre, like especially with like the movies and the TV shows, you know, all of those different aspects, do you think that is something that would help, that helps the book and like allows people to be kind of in on the inside jokes because they can understand it without having to read like years and years of like Superman comics.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the movies, you know, yeah, they're marketed to non-comic book fans. So they've become the popular culture now. And so, yeah, you don't really need the, you know, the decades of reading, you know, Wonder Woman comics to get the jokes.
You could just see the Batman versus Superman.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Be like, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about, you know, your space garbage man and your, you know, the Hero Hotel, and you know, you kind of touch on all these different little kind of subgenres of nerd culture.
Mm-hmm.
Which so far has been your favorite kind of, you know, nerd universe to work in?
Definitely love to do sci-fi. I'm such a big Star Wars fan that, yeah, sci-fi is definitely like my go-to sort of dream genre to play in.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that you used garbage men. Like how, like where did that idea come from? The space garbage men. Cause
I thought it'd be funny. Yikes. Cause the hook of that one is it's called Rocket Salvage. And basically I always say it's like picture the Star Wars universe, but what if the Empire and the Rebellion were equally as evil? And these guys are like stuck in the middle. And so
just
they're
cleaning
having
up the trash.
Right. Because, you know, they have giant space battles. It's like, who's the one that cleans up after that? And so that sort of kicked off that idea. And yeah, it's so the main character is like, he's a garbage man now, but he used to be like a race car driver on a spaceport, a really, you know, like a hot rod, like a hot shot. Then he gets in an accident, and then he has a harvest clone, like all race car drivers have harvest clones to sort of like have their body parts that, you know, they need after a crash. And so he harvests the parts he need, but then raises his clone as his own son.
So he's like the Jango Fett of garbage men.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
So what artistic process do you use? Like, are you one of the guys that's like drawing on a tablet, or do you, you know, use pen and paper still? Like I've been talking with more and more artists lately, and I'm becoming more and more curious about how people are actually creating and drawing comic books now.
Yeah. I always work digitally. Especially because working, you know, starting in games and animation, you know, I always did everything on the computer anyway. So my first books I started doing in Flash. Do you know Adobe Flash?
Yep.
Yeah, so I did all my books in Flash. And Hero Hotel is the first one I actually did on the iPad using a program called Procreate. And it's an iPad Pro that lets you use the Apple Pencil.
So you're basically like drawing right onto the iPad.
Yeah. I still thumbnail in Flash because I like to sort of loosely sketch on a timeline. And, you know, Flash has that timeline, so you can just sort of page left and right and, like, see how the book is flowing without having to open up, you know, 100 individual files.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, because you worked in animation so much, like, do you find yourself like thinking about like the flow from panel to panel and like the kind of like those things that are not being shown like in between the panels?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, it's funny because my first book, Buffalo Speedway, that was the one about pizza delivery drivers. That one, and I see some of the same mistakes my friends are making now when they're making comics, because that one I was basically, you know, I had the animation in mind, so it's almost set up like shots. So it turned out to be like 336 pages, and that was like way too much. So like I noticed now I'm sort of trimming that back because, you know, you can pick up what happens between the panels, you know? Like you don't need the reaction shot and then the other shot and then the wide shot, you know?
Right. You don't need every single movement documented, you know, there's...
Yeah.
Our brains are quick enough to like put together if he goes from here to here in the panel, he walked there. You don't have to show the actual walking. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, going from animation where you do show everything to going to comic books where you don't show everything, it sounds like you had to kind of get into a different headspace when you were doing that. Like, was the,
yeah.
Did you find the transition like between animation and comic books fairly smooth, or did it definitely take like some, you know, some hunting and pecking basically to figure
out? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely, because, you know, in animation, everything needs to be on model. So like the character, you know, you need a model sheet, you need a turnaround, you need to make sure like, oh, when, you know, the nose doesn't pop out of place when he looks from front to three-quarter front, you know. But in comic books, you don't really need to be that slavish to the model sheet, you know. So that took a while to sort of loosen up on something like that. Because otherwise, like, a page was taking, like, a week, you know. And it's like, oh, fuck, I can't knock out a whole book if it takes a week for a page.
Right.
So finding a style that I could do quicker and looser took a lot of trial and error.
Do you find it a little bit freeing to not have to, you know, be so specific? Like, you know, his nose doesn't have to be picture perfect like every single time, as you said, you know, or his eye doesn't have to look exactly the same every time.
Right.
Is it pretty freeing to like transition into that eventually?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's very freeing.
That's awesome.
And then, and then that just loosens up the page, and like, it doesn't, like, cause I really don't gravitate towards those comics where like everything's so super detailed that it just looks dead, you know?
Right.
It just looks like a static page and has no life or action to it. That's why I loved it, because I didn't draw Rocket Salvage. Bachan, do you know Bachan? He's from Mexico. He drew it, and I love that he can put so much detail into it but still make it feel cartoony and alive. It's a rare quality to be able to do that.
Right. It's cool. It seems like, you know, the stories that you're telling tend to gravitate towards that like kind of cartoony feel. And like, as a consequence, you know, the art is very cartoony, and you know, there's certain stories that I feel like that's appropriate for, you know, telling the story of a, you know, a bellboy at a hotel for superheroes is definitely one of those stories. If you were trying to tell the story of like, you know, a drug addicted superhero coming out of the gutter or something, like, you obviously that's not going to be cartoony. So it's,
right.
It's cool. Like, it really fits, you know, this humorous mode, this kind of, you know, silly, fun story. Like, I like that.
That's why, like a book like Super Dinosaur, it almost doesn't match the tone. Like, it's so detailed, like the render quality is so detailed, and, you know, even the kid looks muscular for some reason. Yeah, you know, just, it doesn't fit.
Would you ever make the transition back? Like, if given the opportunity to like take Hero Hotel into animation, is that something that would be something you would be interested in?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I wrote three shorts that I'm going to hopefully be recording the audio for soon. And then I'm going to create like animatics basically of what the sort of animated short version of different stories of Hero Hotel would be.
That's awesome. My kids would watch the shit out of that. Like, I guarantee it. So,
you know, I pitched it to Disney and they liked it, but they already had that Mighty Med. It was like a hospital for superheroes.
I have no idea.
It was live action, which was weird.
That is super weird.
And then also like a hospital for superheroes. That does not sound fun.
Yeah, that sounds that actually sounds like several of the plot lines in Daredevil season 2. Like,
right.
And those are not for kids.
Yeah, like hospice care for superheroes.
My kids. That would be amazing. A hospice for superheroes, but done for children.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry you're dying of cancer, Captain America. Here's some pun jokes.
Yeah. The creepy Patch Adams character.
Yeah. He's wearing a clown nose, but it doesn't come off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
That tickled my fancy. Let's pitch it. We'll make $1 million bucks.
That's great.
When you're like looking at pitching it, like how do you approach that? Is it, I mean, obviously you know have worked with Disney, like, is it something that you have access to it, or do you have to kind of go through a whole process to like get it in front of people that are actually would be interested in it?
The problem is all these like development execs, they get fired like every year, so it's like you always have to, like, once you build a relationship, you get to a point where you have an open door to pitch. You sort of quickly like pitch them before they get fired, because awesome. It's so annoying. Like, every time I like think I'm like, I'm so close, and then I get an email like, oh, I just got fired. Oh, great. So it's really, it's very cutthroat over here.
That sounds crazy. Like that, yeah. That would be difficult, I think, to, it feels like it would be really difficult to get your foot in the door on something like that.
Yeah, it's really like winning the lottery at this point. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, Yehudi, tell us how people can find Hero Hotel and get in on the, basically get in on the ground floor of reading your new comic book.
Yeah, yeah. Go to herohotelcomic.com and you'll be able to order it straight from there. That's the Fanbase Press. It'll forward you to the Fanbase Press store. And it comes out November 21st, which is my birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I think it will also be available that day and date on Comixology.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Comixology.
It's, as somebody that like draws digitally, do you find that reading digitally works just fine for you as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because like there's always that like there's a core group of people that are just like, I won't read digital comics, like, and I'm finding that more and more people, specifically like as the age range of people that are reading comics gets younger, they're way more comfortable with, oh yeah, I'll just get it on Comixology. I don't need 600 boxes of comic books in my basement. Like,
right. Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is like, yeah, you start to get, you know, I need to whittle down on the stuff that's cluttering my hallways.
Right.
So,
and how can people find you on like social media?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Instagram, it's Supermercado Comics. That's usually a good place to follow me. And then my website is supermercadocomics.com.
Well, Yehudi, it was awesome talking with you today, man. And I can't wait to check out Hero Hotel. I think it's going to be something that my kids and I will be able to enjoy together for sure. So
thanks. Yeah. Yeah. It was great talking to you.
This is Scott Alley from Dark Horse Comics, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Like, what's going on?
And we're back.
Man, you have been just a fucking nightmare today.
I'm a mess today.
Man.
Okay. So this
took you 30 minutes to set up your stand.
This is what
happened. And then we're 2 seconds in there in an interview and you fuck it up again. So I got to...
Mine's
set up perfectly. So I just have you come over here and somehow you fuck mine up too.
All I did was mess up the intro, and I do that all the time, right? Like mispronounce somebody's name or say the wrong project.
Now I've got to say, hey, we interviewed Yehudi. Everything went fine. I'm sorry for the fucking technical difficulties we had, and let him know that I apologize for that.
Gabe's just drunk all the time. No, so just finish. Those aren't mine.
What is wrong with you, Yasses, and putting fucking earbuds in the dryer?
Those are, but they're not mine, so it doesn't matter. So just got finished interviewing Yehudi Mercado, who does Hero Hotel.
Correct.
Which is a comic book about this dude named Chet and his cat named Boomer, and how they are...
Boomer Chet?
Boomer Chet. Who are the... That sounds hilarious. Who are the bellhop at... Or the bellboy at...
the bellboys?
Well, one's a cat, so I don't know how much
luggage a cat can carry.
But they're
he carries all the pet luggage.
The pet luggage. That's valid. But... So. I can just see, yeah, the little cute cat holding his hand out for a fucking tip. Yeah, I tip that shit. But
you'd put your tip in it.
Oh.
Hey, yo.
I do not have sex with animals. That is gross. but they're the bellboy at a hotel,
right?
That's for superheroes. Like, it sounds really fun. It sounds like the kind of cartoon that would come on after Steven Universe or something like that. Like, it sounds
like a
really
Bob's
hilarious.
Burgers kind of thing.
No, more kid friendly than Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers is a little weird. Amazing,
oh,
but weird.
Funny.
The new season of Bob's Burgers has been really amazing so far too.
I don't watch that show.
What?
Not because I don't like it. I just don't have time.
That's one of the shows I make time for.
Nah, I know. You make time for that, and you don't fucking make time for any of the shows we actually talk about.
Dude, I talk about Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, but I don't talk about Bob's Burgers. We talk about all the superhero stuff that you never watch. Walking Dead, which you haven't watched any of the last season on.
You know how John is always tired and busy because he's got two kids? I have twice as many kids.
Oh, don't be a bitch.
I'm not a bitch. I'm a nasty woman. No, so here's what happened. This is why I'm actually so tired. And this is actually one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Because he diddled himself all night.
Oh, all night.
He was wearing that the little rooster thing.
Little rooster.
In his butt.
Hashtag butt plug enthusiast. So, that's for you, Tim. So, I have had a PlayStation 4 on layaway for a few months.
Oh, okay. Okay,
because I really, really wanted to play No Man's Sky because that sounded awesome to me. Like
right.
This entire universe that you can explore and it's just like crazy, right? So on Friday, I had one payment left, okay?
Right.
I went to the pawn shop to get it, and on the shelf at the pawn shop, they had a copy of No Man's Sky. So I was like, dude, I've got to get this. Like, I really, really, this is exactly why I bought the PS4.
Right.
So I get it home, I set it up and everything. You know, the kids go to bed, Mel's watching TV and she falls asleep. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna play my game, right? So I sit down, I get it started. There's a fucking half an hour download before I could even play, which is something
it's
that
normal.
I'm not super familiar
with.
Yeah,
it's pretty normal.
Next generation consoles. You know? I grew up with Nintendo, where like the most effort you had to put into getting the game to work was blowing inside of it.
you did become an expert at blowing, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. But drink, John. So I started playing No Man's Sky at about 10 o'clock at night, all right? If you're not familiar with the game, the way it works is you crash land your spaceship, okay? And to learn how to play the game, you have to gather the resources, build the pieces, and then put your spaceship back together. And then you can go up into space and fly around the solar system that you're in to find the plans and the resources and the pieces that you need to build your hyperdrive so you can fly interstellar.
Okay.
I got to that point by 3 in the morning on Saturday morning, okay?
Saturday morning or Sunday morning?
Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
So I got to that point by 3 in the morning on Saturday morning, and we needed to be up by like 7:30. I had to be up at 7:30 to go mow a lawn, and then we had stuff planned literally all day. So there's no chance for a nap, no nothing. So all day, I was just like, I'm so tired. Yesterday, so Mel and I go on date night, okay? So we go to dinner, and then we go to a painting thing where you drink booze and paint stuff, which is like one of our favorite things to do. And then the people at the Crest Cinema and Lounge here in Greeley got a hold of Mel and they're like, look, we know you guys really, really want to see The Birth of a Nation. If you can get here by like 9:40, we will show it for you guys. Like private screening.
Right.
Like, which is makes you feel like a total fucking baller. So we figured that out, got there on time, watched Birth of a Nation, which is like almost 2 hours long, you know, and then came home. Not really super tired after watching like a super intense movie. So I sit down to watch. Mel finished the episode of Daredevil that she needed to finish. And then I turned on at midnight. And next thing I know, I'm going to bed at like 1:45 in the morning. So it's been like two super, super late nights. And so as a consequence, I can't make my mic stand work.
No, yeah. And you sit 2 inches from it. And
because
you're big.
That's how a mic works. You have
no,
to
look,
sit.
No, look. You have to
sit
6 inches from it, but I can lean my head into the mic.
Oh,
I don't have to have my whole body on top of it.
I have a hard time leaning forward.
The problem is your head seems to be like glued to your shoulders.
Yeah.
So when you move your head, you do this instead of just being able to move your head freely.
Yeah, because I've had back surgery, asshole. My body doesn't work like normal people's body work. I have a really hard time bending forward and not being in fucking physical pain, asshole.
No. I've seen you bend forward a lot with your head.
Dude, I can bob my head up and down pretty good, but...
Yeah, you know what you guys sound like? A bunch of nasty women.
Dick, 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 dick. Drink.
I'll pay for your therapy.
Bailey's gonna be fine.
It's expensive, by the way.
I have insurance. sipping coffee. Oh, we could be that skit on Saturday Night Live, the NPR skit. That...
Ants.
There's a petition. If we get 150,000 votes, fire ants will be called, what are they called?
Spicy boys.
Spicy boys.
So
next on NPR, this, all about
spicy boys. So this is pretty pop culture. So some guy, you have the White House petition thing.
Right.
And if you get 150,000 signatures, the White House has to address. Like, that's
right,
the rule.
They have to respond
in some way. So this guy started a petition to rename fire ants spicy boys.
Yes, I'm signing that.
And so people are going on trying to get the 150,000 signatures so that literally President Obama has to make a statement on why we are or are not renaming
fire ants. We don't endorse spicy boys. Spicy boys. Don't die. Don't die
pretty,
now.
Pretty sure spicy boys are agents of ISIS. slash Hydra.
Oh my God. Hail Hydra.
I was just about to say it.
Do you like my stickers on my foosball table?
I did not see them.
You did not see them?
No, not yet.
Buddy. He's terrible at this.
I am not terrible. Terrible. At this.
It's on Facebook. It's on our Facebook account that I checked. Oh, shit. What does that mean?
Bailey's talking about derby practice. So. My daughter does roller derby, yes. If I haven't mentioned that on the show. She's really awesome
and
at
we
it.
Hate her.
What?
Nothing.
Why would you say that?
I would never say that.
Bailey, come punch Juan in the face.
I love Bailey.
I know. Bailey's
I
awesome.
I love Bailey.
She's awesome. She's, everybody, what's kung fu
she might be the more adjusted of all four of your kids.
Oh, for sure. So I'm going to embarrass you a little bit because this is something that gives me hope for future generations.
Hope and embarrassment.
No, we're not going to talk about that on the show because I'll just start yelling.
Blackface, is that what she said?
I'll tell you about it off air because literally I will fucking explode on this show. And we've done that like the last three episodes where I'm like, motherfuck this and motherfuck that. And you can all bite a dick, racist pieces of shit.
Wow.
Fucking Donald Trump is orange. Like,
so we are or we're not going to talk about it?
We're not going to talk about it. So, Bailey... I am being a bad hombre right now.
A bad half bean.
half bean, half cheese. So.
That's your dad.
So Bailey had homecoming, okay? And we went to dinner at the homecoming dinner. Or with her for homecoming.
Oh, it's like,
sorry, that was a terrible sentence structure. We went to dinner with her.
We went at her to homecoming dinner.
For the dinner with the homecoming ins and we watch the thing with the stuff and we do the thing for the homecoming. And I wore a button-up shirt for the homecoming. So we went to dinner with her before homecoming.
Right.
And her date was there.
Right.
This kid named Wyatt.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I sat next to Wyatt to be imposing and threatening and
He's
to remind him that I'm not afraid to go back to jail.
Like, oh, okay. All right.
So we sit down and I start talking with him and, you know, he asked me what kind of music I listen to and he's being very, like, cordial and
right.
nice. Right.
Right.
And then he goes, what kind of movies do you watch? Which I was like, okay, this kid like has interests that are like, I like footballs, you know.
Why would I?
No, that's typical.
See, you're both being very, very prejudicial right now, both of you.
No, I hate sports balls.
No,
that's not true.
I get that.
Dude, I used to watch football all the time.
You
like
used
it's
to play football.
It's totally fine to be a nerd and like sports. I just
don't think all football players I'd like football.
No, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't that guy. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't like, you know, I like the sports, you know, or oh, your daughter's got the boobies, you know, like he wasn't like that, okay?
Fuck his ass up.
He says that behind your back.
Bullshit he does. I'll fucking stab him right in his throat.
But he's like 14. Of course he says it.
He doesn't say that.
No.
Okay, he doesn't. Anyways, let's just pretend like he doesn't.
Yes, that's what we're doing right now, Juan.
I have a little girl. I understand.
Anyways, so he says, what kind of movies do you like? And I tell him, you know, I watch all sorts of shit.
Right.
Like, I watch crazy things and weird stuff.
Right.
But I like horror movies
weird
a
porn.
Lot. Yeah. Mostly German shit porn.
Amateur stuff where she doesn't see it coming.
Though. Yeah. God, that'd be complicated. Like, surprise shit on the face.
What the? You just shit on me!
So he says, I mostly like horror movies. And I'm expecting him to be like, you know, I love Paranormal Activity.
Sure.
I'm really into the new Evil Dead, whatever. He's all, my favorites are the Universal monsters. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this kid, you know, kind of actually knows what the fuck he's talking about. And he says to me, this is the moment. This is the moment where I was like, oh, my generation of children may not fail as human beings. He goes, I really like to watch them on VHS because it gives them that old feeling. I was like, oh, you're actually cool. Like, my daughter's actually cool. Like, kids may not suck ass in the future.
Get the fuck up, guys.
So yes. It was kind of cool that there are kids out there that aren't just like complete ass
that are molded to your special needs.
Yeah, I am special needs.
All right.
No, it's nice. It's nice to know that there are people out there that still respect things that there was craft put into making, like the Universal movies.
Of course.
Like, those were real sets with painted backdrops, and like all of the effects were practical. Like, there's no CGI. Like, it took real people doing real work to make that happen. It wasn't just some dude at a computer.
I like that's not real work.
Though. No, that's real. That's real work, but it's very different. Like, it's not physical.
I know it's
work,
different.
You know? It's cool to see that, you know, kids like my daughter, kids like Wyatt, and I'm sure millions of kids all over the world see, you know, Tom Savini's stuff and go, that's awesome. That's so much better than this crappy CGI whatever, you know. And it's really cool to see that also is like making so much progress that,
right.
You know, something that CGI isn't shit anymore. Like, so
right.
much of the movies that we talk about are 100% dependent on really, really talented, you know, designers and programmers and creators,
even actors, and to even act in front of
where
there's nothing.
Yeah.
Right, is tough.
It's more than anything, it's cool to me to see that there's still a segment of the younger generation that believes pop culture should have craft and
right.
has there's good versions of it and bad versions of it, and making the distinction between this is something that's really well done and this is garbage is cool to me. So, I don't know. It was nice.
She's taking my car.
She's stealing. In a strange turn of events, the white woman is stealing the Mexican guy's car.
My fucking stereo's going to be gone. It's going to be fucking crazy.
Sorry, I totally just took you like completely off topic right there.
I used to have this old Dodge Duster, right? And the stereo in my Duster was an AM and cassette.
Okay.
That's all it was. Someone stole that shit out of my car. It's like, who steals an AM radio with cassette? This is like in
$5.
This is like 2000 when like cars came with CD players in them, and I still had a tape deck. Right. You're not getting $5.
They made
that.
You upgrade.
All right, have
get
fun
some.
Up girls.
Ooh, your hands are cold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're like death.
You know what they say.
Ice cube at school.
You know what they say. Cold hands, no soul.
Cold hands, little dick.
Yeah, she's a girl. I would hope she has a super no dick.
Super no dick.
My dick's so tiny, it's non-existent. Oh, man.
All right. That's valid.
Oh, bummer. Matt's not making it today.
What?
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's sick.
Oh, man.
Sick and tired of our bullshit.
You're my favorite.
I love you, Matt, kind of, but your wife's better.
Well, it doesn't sound like John's on the line.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on with him.
Well, let's take a...
Are you ready?
Well, weren't we just recording?
Are we done?
Well, I was going to say, why don't we take a quick break so that I can go take a piss. And then when we come back, why don't we talk about our pop culture classic? What are we talking about today?
Bloodsport.
You gotta fight to survive. Kumite, kumite.
I'm gonna intro with that. That's decided. Awesome. It's decided.
It is decided.
All right, let's take a break.
Take a break.
All right.
Hey, this is Zach Davison, and I am listening to the excellent podcast, Thinking Outside the Long Box. Although I like to think inside the long box as well. Thank you very much.
For centuries, the Society of the Black Dragon has sanctioned an ancient rite of combat known as the Kumite, open only to the world's most lethal warriors. It has never been won by a Westerner.
You are not Japanese.
I can do it.
Now, for the first time, the true story of American super agent Frank Dukes can be revealed.
Uncle Sam can't afford to let you get hurt.
I'm going to Hong Kong.
Frank is going to fight in the Kumite, and we're here to stop him.
An awesome human weapon.
That hurts me just looking at it.
Who infiltrates the Chinese underworld.
I did not come this far to stop now.
Take him.
To enter a forbidden competition.
Couldn't you just get me in?
Strict rules, no press.
You're telling me you never break rules?
Where every fighting style, every worthy opponent, every deadly technique clash in savage combat.
Time to separate the men from the boys.
And only one will triumph.
Now I break you.
International martial arts sensation Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. The true story of the ultimate champion.
Okay.
Right off the bat.
Okay.
I had totally forgotten. Because, like, I haven't, like, watched this movie since I was a kid.
Right.
I had totally fucking forgotten that Bloodsport is about a real human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not one...
He holds records and shit in that stuff. Yeah.
Like, fastest knockout and, like, all sorts of crazy shit. Oh, my dog is going apeshit outside for some reason.
It's because of the other dogs that are out there. Tina's dogs.
Teener Beaner.
Teener the Beaner?
Does she
get mad when we say that?
No, I don't know that she does. If she does, she does. And she doesn't say shit to me about it. So
she listens on the down low.
Yeah.
What is going on with my fucking computer? Okay.
So I watched this with my boy.
Okay.
Okay, because I feel like this is kind of like one of those rite of passage movies. Like, I watch it with my dad. Like, I hope to God my son watches it with his son someday. You know, it's one of those movies that it's got just enough swearing and just enough, like, kind of allusions to sexiness and just enough, like, violence. But none of them are so bad that you feel, like, really awkward with your kid. You can just, like, watch it and enjoy it and have a blast, right?
I feel awkward just looking at Van Damme's ass.
Oh, dude. That was the...
You see that more than you do the female.
So we're watching it, and, like, I'm watching it.
Did we talk about what we're talking about first? I don't think we mentioned
it. Okay, so let's
come
back.
I don't think we introed into
that. Sorry, I forgot to do it. I got so excited talking about it.
I know, because we just talked about it in the last segment, but let's remind people what we're talking about.
So, real quick. So, this episode's pop culture classic is Bloodsport. Bloodsport came out in 1988. It starred Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Old.
Yeah, starred Jean-Claude Van Damme as Frank Dukes, or ducks.
No, he says dukes.
I know. It's just funny that one guy's like, you like ducks?
Quack, quack. Oh, like, put up your dukes, man.
Frank Dukes goes, USA, okay. Frank Dukes goes to Hong Kong to be in the Kumite, which is like a underground, like, fighting tournament competition,
right,
sponsored by the Triad, which I thought was hilarious how explaining they were about the Triad.
The Triad and some, like, official-sounding sanctioned thing.
The Black Dragon Society is a branch of the Triad.
No. That, and then it was co-sponsored by the IAFCC or something that, which is International Art. He says it in the thing, but it's like the mobsters and then, like, a real fighting place.
Organization. Yeah. It also stars Bolo Young, who is like an internationally renowned like martial artist, right, movie maker. We have been coming up with trivia, but I feel like the most important part of trivia in this whole situation is that Frank Dukes was a real fucking, right, person, and Frank Dukes, like, for reals, kicked the shit out of people, like, in an unprecedented way. So going back to it, my son, I'm sitting there. Obviously, I'm watching the movie.
Right.
Obviously, I'm completely fucking invested because Bloodsport is a fucking awesome movie.
Right.
It is, like, terrible in, like, the perfect way. You know, where you watch it, you're like, this is so...
It's an 80s movie.
This is so dumb and it's so awesome. But I was watching my son, hoping to see him react to the same shit I reacted to,
right,
when I was a kid. And he totally did. Like, when Jackson walks into the hotel room and Frank is doing the splits. When I was a kid, I went, ooh. And my son goes, ooh. You know, that hurts me just like that.
Oh, yeah.
when Chung Li breaks a dude's leg or, like, the nut shot. Oh, my God. So he's fighting the guy that's the sumo wrestler.
Big dude.
And he goes into the splits and he, like, punches the,
right,
dude square in the nuts. So my son... The next morning, like, Mel has no fucking interest in Bloodsport. Like, she's never seen it. Like, she thinks Jean-Claude Van Damme is, like, obnoxious. She hates Steven Seagal. She doesn't like that kind of movie.
They're,
right,
like, two total... I can't stand Steven Seagal.
But,
movies.
I mean, like, she brought that up in the conversation.
Right.
You know, I don't like Steven Seagal. I don't like Chuck Norris. I don't like, you know, she's... 80s white guy martial arts movie, she's out. You know, she grew up on, like, Shaw Brothers shit.
Right.
So that's her standard. And that, let's be real, that's the fucking gold standard of martial arts movies.
Sure.
Like, so she's out. She doesn't care. My son, immediately, first thing in the morning, he's all, then there's this scene where he goes in and does the splits, and then he punches the dude right in the balls. And I was like, I don't.
Typical teenage little kid.
He's like, I don't care. And, like, he just went on and on and on about it. So, like, his reaction to it was exactly like my reaction to it when I was his age. And that, it was awesome. It made me feel really good because it's fun. It's such a fun movie.
Right.
Like, There's a reason people still watch it to this day. You know, it's awesome. It's on cable all the goddamn time. You know.
Yeah, I watched it on demand, so because I thought for some reason it was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix for a while.
Was it? And I went and I was like, oh fuck, it's not there anymore. And then I was like, oh, let's see if it's on demand. But usually on demand is stuff that is, like, more current and shit. And I was like, oh shit, it's there. Like,
nice.
So it was still. You know, at least popular enough to have it to have some sort of free access to it.
I pulled out my VHS. Like, it's upstairs now. But, like, we sat down, I popped on the VHS, and we watched Bloodsport, man. It was awesome. So, let's talk about Jackson for a second. I feel like Jackson as a character 100% steals the show from Van Damme. That dude, I don't know, man, it's hard. He is the heart and soul of the movie. Like, his responses, his one-liners, all of that, without him, Van Damme's acting is so wooden. Like, and he's so clearly, I don't want to say, like, struggling with the language, but his accent's way, way thicker than it is in, like, later movies.
Right.
I think without Jackson to humanize Frank, it doesn't work. The movie doesn't work. You know,
so what Jackson does is what you just said. You know, what Van, the whole purpose of the movie is for Van Damme to go in and honor his father figure. I mean, that's his focus. His focus is one thing, and it's singular.
To honor his father.
And that's why he comes off more wooden until he meets Jackson and they interact more.
They
because
play,
it brings
they
out
play fucking Nintendo karate.
Right. it brings out the relationship that I assume that he had with what would be his brother figure, who
right.
passed away before, you know, before all of this happened.
Who's super passively racist and calls him
round,
round
eye. not passively racist. That's racist.
No, it was just like super snuck in there. Like, what's your problem, round eye? It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, calm down, buddy.
I didn't know what that meant when I first saw that movie.
Oh,
so.
There's no way I knew what that meant when I was a kid. I was like, why everybody's got round eyes?
But it's like you said, even if it wouldn't have been somebody like him that was so humorous, it would have been similar because it's that person's job was to humanize him. It
right.
was that was the whole point of his purpose in that movie, was to make him bonded, it make him come out of the focus of winning the tournament and you know, bring out a little bit more of who he is
to
in the
bring
movie.
To bring different stakes to the game.
Right.
Like, it's not just this honor and respect aspect, it's also like a very human, I want to, like, avenge my friend.
Right.
You know? And he delivers, hands down, the best fucking line in the movie. So when the cops finally catch up with Frank, one of whom is played by fucking Forrest Whitaker, fucking Oscar award-winning, Oscar award-winning actor Forrest Whitaker.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Hello?
Oh, you sound really,
yeah.
really quiet.
There we go.
I'm quiet.
Say something.
Hello?
Check, check, chickity Chester's chicken.
What's he plugged
test,
into?
Test. I'm doing this on my phone.
Oh, I know
so.
Why it is.
Oh, because you turned it down
because
you were getting Facebook notifications.
Okay, now you should
Hello?
Be good. There he is.
Now you're really loud.
There
Hello?
He is. Can
Hi,
you hear me?
John.
What's up?
What's up, my friend? We're talking about Bloodsport.
Oh, man. I tried, but I did not get to watch that movie, and it's been fucking forever since I've seen it, so...
So I'm,
you guys can just keep chatting about that.
Oh, we're gonna bring you in the conversation. Don't worry.
You're gonna be here. You're with us now.
Yeah.
You're giving me orgasms.
You're inside me.
Oh, good. That's where I like to be. It's my favorite place.
So I was just about to talk about how Jackson, the biker dude that's Frank Dukes's buddy in the movie, delivers the absolute best line. So when the cops finally catch up with Frank, okay, and I can hear his turn signal.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I know. Sorry.
I love it. No, you're fine.
Drinking and driving.
Oh, hey.
That's right.
Coffee. Everybody drinks coffee while they drive. So the cops catch up with him, and they're like, you know, you got to come with us, Frank, whatever. And Jackson chimes in. You know, leave him alone. He's going to fight. And Forrest fucking Whitaker goes, hey, why don't you mind your own business, pal? And fucking Jackson looks at him and goes, I'm not your pal, dick face.
Awesome.
It is the best line. My son giggled. we had to stop the movie because he was like so tickled pink with that line. It's awesome.
It's
my favorite line in the movie.
Is it bad
That's
that
awesome.
You can see the progression of as he gets older, that his eye gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it gets lazier and
oh,
lazier.
Oh, that's so mean.
It's true, though. He's so young, and you can you hardly notice that he has his lazy eye. And, like, in the trailer for Rogue
it's
One,
just
it's
his
like
eye, man.
Falling off
it's
the side
just
of
his
head.
Eye. You can correct
that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
that.
What. So having two kids now, like, so Finn goes to preschool. This has nothing to do with Bloodsport,
oh, you're good.
But I'm going to talk about it because it's hilarious. He's picking up every fucking preschool. It's not really preschool. He's 2.5, and he goes 2 days a week for like 3 hours a day just to socialize him and whatnot.
God, I wish that's how my work schedule was.
Yeah, me too. Fuck.
3 hours. 3 hours twice a week. Yeah, I'm out.
I'm done. We'll see you later. See you next week. But so he's coming home with every fucking cough and
oh, yeah.
cold and virus and this and that and the other thing. And so like 2 weeks ago, Carissa and I both had pink eye, and you talk about Forrest Whitaker eye. That is not a fun thing to have.
Wow.
That is disgusting.
Forrest Whitaker eye.
You're talking about us being mean? Fuck that, man. Forrest Whitaker looks like he got pink eye, motherfucker.
Right. Permanently. Permanent pink eye.
So...
wonder if it like secretes things and if it's, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't think it's that bad, John. I think it just looks the wrong way.
It's just there.
He should
have. Does anybody know if he can see out of it though?
Of course he can see out of it. It's just a lazy eye. Yeah.
You can correct your lazy eye by having surgery.
I feel like he should have just been like, hey, Van Damme, I got like this issue with my eye. Could you kick me in the side of the head real quick?
Just roundhouse me right in the left orbital cavity.
Could you roundhouse me like 16 fucking times in a row?
So what do you remember about the movie, John?
You know, I don't know. Nothing, to be honest with you.
Yes,
it's been so fucking long.
So one of my favorite parts of the movie is that it's a precursor. Like, fighting games weren't really super popular yet. I think like Street Fighter 2 came out a couple years like after this.
Okay.
So, like, this concept of, you know, one-on-one combat, you know, till somebody's unconscious or somebody gives up, but with, like, the African guy that fights like a monkey and the Japanese guy.
Which is pretty racist.
Yeah, it's crazy racist.
Yeah.
And, like, the Japanese guy that's a sumo wrestler and the, you know, the Wing Chun style kung fu and the other, you know, the regular Shaolin kung fu and the, you know, karate and the Chun Li is Korean.
Right.
Like the whole, like, look at the international body of fighting styles. Like the guy that fights, you know, Muay Thai, the guy that's a kickboxer. Like,
right.
That is such a precursor to like the fighting video game. Like, if my son walks in, he's like, oh, that guy's like this guy and that guy's like this guy. Like, oh, holy shit, like they came up with that way before Street Fighter came out too. Like, I thought that was super fucking funny to like look back on.
So not only was this fucking movie like funny and humorous and had fighting, I literally, whenever I get to the point where Tanaka is talking about his son dying, it's hard. Like, that's a hard thing to listen to, because he gives a speech about his family and passing tradition on from father to son, and that's hard.
It's shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's, I, that literally, I'm like, holy shit, like, that's sad. Like,
I have the feels. Yeah. Holy, what the fuck?
Which is weird.
In a karate movie? What the hell's going on here? Fuck you, Mr. Miyagi.
What's hilarious is, like, as you're having the feels, I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, this flashback sequence goes on forever.
Well, it's that part that gets to me, because him trying to steal it and all that, that flashback just sets up that specific moment,
right,
where they can talk to each other and they're sad, and then he's like, okay, go do it and I'll train you. And then you get the music and all that shit, you know. The other stuff is kind of eh. But that particular moment is probably the hardest part of that movie to watch.
The child actor that plays young Frank Dukes is fucking terrible. Like they should have spent an extra like $50,000 on hiring a kid that can act. Like,
that's a lot of money for, dude, holy shit.
Well, not for a movie. How much money did they fucking pay to make this whole movie? They're like, we need a black dude that's willing to pretend like he's a monkey. Like,
awesome.
We need a giant Japanese guy.
The worst stereotypes possible.
We're definitely going to need three sleazy Iraqi guys.
I didn't see no Mexicans.
No, that was so Paco, his name is fucking Paco is a kickboxer. The kickboxer guy is the Mexican guy.
Oh, that's right.
Which, why in the hell a kickboxer are Mexican?
Well, Mexicans
dudes
can't be kickboxers or what?
No, it's
now
just,
who's the racist?
Dude, so in standing with the rest of the movie, he should be Thai, because like Thai guys,
man,
fight Muay Thai and are kickboxers.
Yeah.
So what's the...
Just dig yourself a deeper hole, fucking Donald
fighting,
Trump.
What's the fighting style of Mexicans? Stab you. Like, they can't... They can't put that in the Kumite. Like, the dude just pulls out a knife, fucking shanks you, and walks away, man. Like,
oh, a bajillion
man,
times?
Yeah, like 65 times. That's how we do it, motherfucker.
Bleed out.
Wow. That's racist.
That's the Mexican fighting style. Kick you in the ball, stab you six times.
One of my favorite things about Bloodsport is when they parody the glass knuckle scene in what's the fucking Charlie Sheen movie where he's like the Navy.
God no, but you're thinking of the wrong movie.
What?
You're thinking of Kickboxer.
Oh, that's Kickboxer.
Yeah.
Damn it. Never mind.
Where the fucking bad guy puts his hand in the fucking in the glass. That's a good movie too. I like that movie.
Yes, Kickboxer. That is a good
that's
movie.
That's a good movie too. I don't know if I like that bad guy though. I think I like Chun-Li better than I don't even know that guy's bad. The
Chun-Li's intense. Yeah. Like, you know, as far as villains go in like 80s action movies, he's one of like the more sinister ones where he's like willing to kill somebody just to get the accolades of the crowd.
So and that's the other thing I was going to mention while I was watching this is that while that's not necessarily okay, like people die fighting and doing this, like nobody wants to see that. That's like a bad, you know, they cheer him on because he's an antagonist. He tries to get the cheers, but as soon as he kills them, everybody turns their back on him.
Well, so what's interesting to me is
I'll be right back.
Oh, you're good.
I felt like it was a little different than I viewed it differently than I viewed it as a kid. I think they're turning to the altar to pay respect to the dead. Does that make sense?
So I think that too, but I feel like as well is that they're again going to my point is while it happens, people die. He killed the guy unnecessarily. Yeah. Like he did it on purpose. Like if you're just fighting and you punch him and he dies, they probably have more respect for something like that than you already have him beat. He's already on the mat. Why kill him? You know what I mean? And that to me was a powerful moment. Like we don't condone that. Like you're gonna move on and it is what it is. But it's something that we don't necessarily condone.
Right. I mean, I thought that was interesting too, because that's exactly what you're supposed to feel. Like you're supposed to feel like that death is unnecessary.
Right.
Like he had won the fight. He didn't need to kill that guy. So let's get into some of the comments that we have on Instagram. We'll go through these real quick first. Deadhead Comics, at Deadhead Comics on Instagram said, "Very good, but brick not hit back."
I love that Chun-Li had like three lines. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Not because he doesn't speak English very well, but it was, you don't need to be a fucking, you don't need to talk to be like a force, to be a bad guy that you don't want to fuck with.
Right. You just have to kill people unnecessarily. Sarang _ Bushman said, "Uno mas, por favor." Ooh. Like, so we're getting a lot of quotes from the movie, and then he gave us an LOL and a smiley face. But this is the comment that I thought was the most interesting. At the Wind Up Cat on Instagram said, "Saw this guy," referencing the picture of Bolo.
Bolo, yep.
"Saw this guy at the gym 4 years ago. He was still pretty strong for a 70-plus-year-old guy." Like, in the movie, that dude is fucking gigantic ripped.
So here's the thing that I did want to also talk about when I saw that. Him, Bolo Young, or Jan, or however you say his last name, him and Jean-Claude Van Damme seem to be the same stature. Like, they seem to be the same height. But it's funny to see two guys who, their whole lives, they train to be fighters and martial artists, and they lift and they do these things, but they have two completely different body types. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme is ripped in the like Bruce Lee way, where they're small and they're thin and they're cut, but you can fucking just see the muscles just on them.
Right.
And Bolo is he has more mass to him, and he just looks big. Like, he looks massive for the same height that they're at. Like, he looks like his muscles are like double the size of Van Damme's. And it's just funny to notice that, you know, you can grow up to do the same thing as, you know, me and you maybe we're the same heights and look completely different.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's funny. It's so crazy.
I actually talked with my son about that a little bit while we were watching the movie, that he's like, Van Damme has like those striations.
Right.
Like he's ripped. Super cut. Whereas like Bolo is just fucking huge. Like he is a giant sized man, but like you wouldn't, in a short body.
You wouldn't look at like Bruce Lee if he didn't have his, you know, if he was just dressed normally, you wouldn't look at him and go, unless you knew who he was, but you wouldn't look at him and go, man, that guy looks huge. Like he looks like he could whoop my ass. Until he takes his shirt off, and you're like, holy shit, this guy's got like thousands of muscles throughout his body. Like, it's fucking insane. Hello, John.
Hi, sorry.
Are you at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles in Parker, Colorado?
Drink.
Oh, I'm fucking...
What? What?
Shot.
No, I had to run to Home Depot because I'm trying to blow out the sprinklers at the house.
Oh.
Doing all this shit before the store opens.
Oh, yeah. What are you getting at Home Depot? A fucking...
A 90-degree fitting for my nozzle for the air compressor.
I just hired somebody. I didn't want to deal with that bullshit.
Oh.
I'm lazy. I'm weird because I'm Mexican and I'm lazy.
Well, that's not weird though. I don't think.
I think it is. I don't want to cut grass. I don't want to do nothing that most typical Mexicans do.
But isn't that also like the stereotype, the lazy Mexican? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, but I think that's the wrong stereotype.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Maybe I fit the stereotype that's not actually real.
Okay.
I hate it. Alicia loves that stuff, but I hate doing that stuff.
My wife loves mowing.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out.
Too. I told her, and I don't know if I've ever told this story here, but when we went shopping for our second house, when we moved from Fort Collins to Eaton, I had just switched jobs and there was a lot going on. And I told Alicia, okay, go find a fucking house. I'm done looking. I'll sign the documents. I trust what you're doing. Just find me a yard that's fucking smaller than what we're dealing with right now. And some fucking how I got roped into a fucking bigger lawn. I was like, God damn it.
That's awesome.
Oh, but I love her.
So we have Facebook comments. Go ahead. Oh,
Michael.
With the Facebook
Michael
comment.
Kirk. Did you know that you pronounce his name Kirk, John?
Yes, I do. Because he's my customer at the store. Yeah.
Oh, I looked I at like, it and you, I was like, "How did you like, pronounce
you to,
that?"
I was like, "You need to to send him a comment and say, hey, how do you say your name so that
is
we don't butcher it on the show?'
Or Cookie or what?
Cook.
So Michael Kirk. I almost pronounced
it
wrong right there.
Right there.
He says, love this movie, however, watched it recently. Sadly, it does not hold up. The young Eric Dukes is a terrible actor. I think there's something mentally wrong with him. I feel bad for ripping him.
No, that kid's a shitty actor. Fuck that. You are fine ripping him. That kid sucks, man.
Ogre from the Nerds movie is good but cheesy. Music is really bad, which I wholeheartedly disagree with. But the fights are not bad. Gotta love the triple slow motion kick / scream action. When he fights blind is hilarious as well. And of course you get some splits action. Kickboxer holds up a little better. Sorry for the long rant. I loved Van Damme when I was a kid, so every one of his... I think that's meant to say I saw every one of his movies.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
So I think Kickboxer probably holds up better because Jean-Claude Van Damme is a little bit more seasoned at the time that movie comes out, which is why I think people remember that movie more than Bloodsport. Because I hear a lot of people, you know, even when I'm talking to people at work, that Kickboxer seems to hold up more.
Michael also said, please address the Kumite song that is the best. Like
that's how we're going to intro this show, by the way.
Yeah, so
awesome. That's fantastic.
Michael, that is exactly how we're going to address it. To listen to this episode, you're going to have to listen to the song. It was funny when I was watching the movie with my son and it comes on, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is awful." Like this is
I love it. Dude, that's a thing right now. Back. That's a thing now that with movies and we addressed it with the when we were talking about Luke Cage last episode of the episode before, is that there's things going on, so the soundtrack matters. You know what I mean? So while action or whatever's going on the screen, you're hearing the music, and because you usually don't. You usually hear the soundtrack little bits here and there while they're cutting from things to things, but you hear this just like in the Luke Cage while they're fighting. To me, it pumped me up. I was like, yes, I love this. Like, it fit perfectly for me.
So there's something that they don't do in movies anymore that they used to do, which is to make a song for the movie.
Right.
Like the Ghostbusters theme song or like the Kumite song or just there's tons of movies back in the 80s where like in the movie you would hear a song that's about the movie, and it's something that I'm glad they've gotten away from because it's super super distracting for me. Like,
I don't know that you ever heard the Ghostbusters song in the movie though.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's probably just at the end.
It was the intro, and it was at the end of the movie, but I don't think it was ever in the movie.
I don't know. I think it's hilarious that they
smokes a lot of weed.
I do smoke a lot of weed.
Sure.
that they just don't do that anymore.
Right.
It is funny though. I still know the Gremlins theme, like the little music. The bum, bum,
bum, right. Bum, bum, bum. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but if I heard it and I wasn't, I'd be like, oh, that's Gremlins. Like, you know what I mean?
But you're telling us you never hear it in your head, probably because you're not stoned all the time.
Right. Yeah, right. Probably. Yeah, that's I'm not there's stoned anytime.
There's everywhere, man.
I think that's acid, not fucking marijuana.
Don't get him wet, man.
don't do it, dude. Don't pour the water.
It's too late. Don't feed him. It's past midnight, man.
John, you make a perfect stoner, I think.
Stoners would be the worst at keeping...
Oh, thanks, man.
Stoners would be the worst at keeping those little animals. They'd be like, oh, I forgot to feed it.
No, and I'm so hungry. You want to eat with me, little man?
And isn't it technically always after midnight? Like, what's the cutoff?
That rule makes no sense.
Is everything else to 6?
Everything else kind of makes sense, but that doesn't make any sense. Cause He probably came
you're
from
good
the
at
Orient.
11:59, is that, can but you say 12:01, that? You're bad.
Like I don't understand what the cutoff is. Like that's the problem. After midnight, okay, it's after midnight until the sun comes up. Like,
right. which he can't go outside and experience anyways.
Yeah,
12:59:59.
It's then just exactly at midnight. Oh man.
So overall,
when did Bloodsport come out?
1988.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I was 1 year old.
Wow.
What's crazy to me is I totally saw that movie in the theater. Like
that's nuts.
I think I was I would have been like 11 or 12 years old or something. So I don't know how familiar you are with this, Juan, but John may be a little more familiar with this. When these movies were coming out in like the 80s and 90s, like all the Van Damme and Chuck Norris and all that stuff, do you remember like having to like cajole and like convince your mom or dad, you know, can you take me to the movies? I really want to see this rated R movie. And your parents had to like go buy you the ticket and give it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Like you could go see it by yourself. It's not like it is now where you have to have your parent with you to watch the rated R movie. Like your parent would drop you off and like buy the ticket for you so that like you could go into the rated R movie. It was like basically your parent giving you permission. and then they would just leave you there.
I don't ever remember going to see a rated R movie until, you know, I was in my teens, I guess. Hold on a sec. How's it going? Thanks, man.
He's just buying shit. Home Depot.
Hey, that guy could be on the show.
But I remember like even renting movies, like renting the VHS, we had to do that. We had to like petition the parents to like, oh, hey, you know, everybody's talking about this movie at school. Can we please rent it? No, it's rated R. Oh, but come on. No,
It's not that bad. And all of my friends have totally already seen it like 5 times. It's going to be okay.
Exactly. There's a lot of that.
So had I been,
fucking old.
Older at the time.
Born.
My dad would have come with me to watch something like this. Well, so my dad, he loved Chuck Norris. He loved Jean-Claude Van Damme. That was his shit.
So my dad totally was that dad. Like, we saw Die Hard in the theater together. Right. We saw Pulp Fiction in the theater together. We saw...
See, my dad wouldn't have went to go see Pulp... Like, that's what I mean. It would have depended on the type of rated R movie that we were going to go see. But I don't think he would have minded me going to see a rated R movie.
So, but I remember, like, if my dad was doing something else... You know, and there were certain rated R, like, he, you know, I had to convince him to take me to see Terminator 2. You know, I had to convince him to take me to see Bloodsport. I had to convince him, you know, it was like, oh, come on, Dad, like, everybody's seen it already. All of my friends are already talking about it. And now, in retrospect, you know.
He would have been like, well, then, mijo, you already know the story.
Yeah. I did get that shit all the time. He's all, you already know all about it. I'm all, I was like, no, but I haven't seen it. Come on, Dad. Like, I remember.
With my own eyes.
I remember, you know, every kid talked to, you know, let's specifically with Bloodsport.
Right.
The scene where he breaks the dude's leg, he gives him a compound fracture. Oh, it's fucking horrible.
Yes, it looks disgusting.
Awesome. So that's all my friends talked about. Like, oh, and then his bone pops out. And I had to convince my dad. That's the only gross part. That's the only gross part. Everything else is totally cool. Everything else is all right. It won't be bad.
See,
I won't have nightmares, Dad.
The funny thing about that is, knowing now what I know about how to form an argument, I wouldn't have even brought that up. Ever. Right. But no, nothing crazy happens in this movie.
But in retrospect, all of my friends that were talking about it, there was like that one kid whose parents just didn't give a shit.
Right.
Right? And he saw it and told everybody else. And then everybody else just pretended like they saw it. You know, and so that argument, all of my friends have seen it, was not true. It was just like that one kid whose like parents were bikers and had no rules, you know.
I feel like I'm going to be that parent minus the biker stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I am totally that parent.
As soon as I turn Walking Dead on, my son could be somewhere in the house and, are you watching zombies, Dad? Yes, awesome. I am. So we've been giving everything a thumbs down, a thumbs middle, or a thumbs up.
What the fuck is a thumbs middle?
It's like
it was all right.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. So.
We made it up, sucker. We made it up.
We're super fucking creative individuals, man.
Thumbs middle? Everything's a fucking thumbs middle.
No, it's not.
Life is a thumbs middle, goddammit.
No, you're life just, is rated hard R. We just, talked about that earlier today.
Nice.
You're just thinking of the thumb that you get in the middle.
Oh.
Just like a thumb, just the tip of the thumb.
Yeah, the green thumb, that's the brown thumb.
So
I'm giving Bloodsport a thumbs up. That's me.
I will also give Bloodsport a thumbs up. You're limited.
I give it a thumbs up, but I haven't seen it in fucking ever. So yes.
Yesterday, within
you're that kid trying to convince us that you've seen the movie.
Exactly. Within, I thought it was Kickboxer. That's
a good movie too. I'm not going to lie; it's a good movie.
Yes. I like Kickboxer.
I personally just don't like it as much as I liked Bloodsport. It's because I didn't like the. I don't like the villain in that movie. He looks weird and he seems weird to me. I don't know, but I like them all. I like Lionheart. That's another good fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I don't like all the Van Damme movies from the 80s. I really liked Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Lionheart, and Hard Target. Those are like the only
I didn't like Time
liked.
Cop. That was a shit
Time
movie.
Cop is
Time horrible. Cop was amazing.
Oh my god, that was
Jesus
horrible.
Fucking Christ.
There were titties in that movie. So as a young impressionable boy, I loved that movie. Again, that's one that I had to petition the parents to see, and when we put it on, they're like, oh my god, close your eyes. Like, yay!
I had that moment with Total Recall and my dad. He's like, oh, that woman's got three breasts. Cover your eyes. I'm like, holy crap, you can have three titties? Like,
what is this thing?
I want all three of those.
Two hands and one mouth. My mind is blown.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. That's really funny. Oh man. I was watching it in a trailer at work because we're remodeling Honda of Greeley in Greeley, Colorado.
Drink.
Take a drink.
So we're in trailers, and so we're kind
of... Do a line of Coke? Is that what that means?
That was old school car business, is from what I hear. But I'm so this is back to what Gabe and John have mentioned about this being kind of an 80s movie. I'm watching the movie while I'm at work because it's slow and I don't give a fuck. And
you watch Bloodsport at work?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I did.
Kumite.
I need to get a TV Kumite. At my work.
You work in a comic book store.
You can totally watch a movie
said,
while you're working.
I said I need to get a TV at my work.
I used to.
Oh yeah, I've been telling you that for since you fucking opened it.
I used to watch movies and TV and shit all the time when I was working at the nerd store.
But anyway, so I'm watching the movie. And another salesman comes in, doesn't even know what the movie is, but he's like, oh, shit, are you watching a shitty 80s movie? Just fucking right off the bat. I was like, holy shit, I am.
Oh, it's the best.
Well, it's part of it's just the music. Like, you can just hear the music, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's crap. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, the soundtracks were terrible. I mean... Not like the soundtracks with the music, but like the actual background music and stuff.
Right.
Like they were just
crappy,
awful.
It's the crappy synthesizer music. That's what does it. They stop. They're like, oh, hey, we can make an orchestra just with this keyboard. Like,
check this shit out.
Look at what I can do. And everybody was like, that's terrible.
It's just
like,
a dude on a guitar.
Oh, that's amazing.
So...
You're such a keytard.
Oh, we missed you so much.
Oh, man. So we all – well, we gave it a thumbs up. John gave it a thumbs somewhere in the ass because he hasn't seen it.
So I'd give it a thumbs middle because that's a thing apparently.
Yeah, thumbs middle is a thing.
Moving on from Bloodsport, which we all enjoyed –
Except for John,
for the next episode we record, John will love this one. I guarantee he'll love this
one. Uh-oh.
Is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, I already love that movie. It gets two thumbs up.
So next episode, we're gonna sit down, watch From Dusk Till Dawn, and have a conversation about the movie that literally has my favorite line of all time in it. So,
and we'll have to wait to find out what that is.
Oh, or will we?
FYI, that also has titties in it.
Oh, yes.
A shit ton of them.
Yes, a lot of titties. Yes. You know what else it has in it? Pussy.
Brown pussy, stinky pussy.
If you can find pussy cheaper,
fuck
it. Oh, man, that is the most vulgar shit ever.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, man, I can't wait to talk about that movie.
Me either.
Oh, man.
So, take a break. We'll come back and talk with John for a little bit about other shit that I'm sure he remembers in his big brain.
Yeah.
I've got some fun stories to share with y'all.
Oh. Awesome.
Well, we'll come back. We'll have story time with John and maybe do a
story time with John. That needs to be a segment.
And maybe do a little bit of old man shit.
So I have a friend who's a bud tender and like she posts ridiculous thing. What?
She's cool.
She posts these ridiculous stories that she has from, you know, slinging weed. And I was like, I could totally do one of those things from the comic book store. And I have a gem for y'all.
Oh, nice. Next. All right.
Coming up next, story time with John. John, are you still there?
And we're back!
Perfect. I didn't even have to tell you what to do.
Right?
You're so much better than Juan.
It's like riding a bicycle for the most part. Like a weird, sexually oriented bicycle.
Oh, it's like one of those with like a dildo in it?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. So I have another story that we can get into, too.
Oh, man.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, so tell us some stories, John.
All right, so the other day, right, I'm working. We're putting away new comics. It was a Tuesday. It was a lovely day. It was a packed
Tuesday.
Day, getting some Halloween Comic Fest books in and whatnot. So there's a new publisher called Coffin Comics. And Coffin Comics, I think, is Brian Pulido's new publishing endeavor. So he has, I think he's got the rights back to Lady Death, because they have been producing these oversized prestige format Lady Death books for at least since we've been open. So almost a year now. And they just come out, like, they're basically oversized one shots. They're not sequential books. Like, there's not a number one and a number two and a number three and et cetera. So the most recent one, let me go grab it so that I can tell you exactly what the title is. There's one that just came out this Wednesday. So it's a new Lady Death one shot. It's called Extinction Express. You know, it's cool. It's a cool book. It's written by him. It's drawn by people that draw sexy ladies really well.
Right.
But anyway, there are variants for stuff. It, just like there are variants for fucking everything. One of the variants was it wasn't incentivized, like it's open to order, but it's $25. Like that's what the retail cost of this variant is.
Okay.
So it's obviously going to have a smaller print run than the regular book and the variant of the book, but it's not like a 1 in 25 that's $25. It's just anybody can order it if they want it. It's just $25.
So I'm gonna take you off track really quick.
That's okay.
Would you prefer that? Would you prefer that all of those things that are like 1 in 1,000 or something like that are, instead of that, you know, it, one's $25 and maybe one's $75 or something like that?
That would be kind of cool, I have to admit. I mean, but at the same time, it's nice when we're already meeting some of those thresholds, like with, I mean, it's only with Marvel because, well, and some of the other publishers, but like, you know, Marvel first for Darth Vader. Okay. Darth Vader number 25 just came out, the last issue of the series.
Right.
Of course, there's a fuck ton of variants because it's Darth Vader and they're trying to get as much money as they possibly can. And so, you know, there's a regular cover. There's a variant cover that's not incentivized. There's actually two variant covers that are not incentivized. And there's a 1 in 25. There's like 3 1 in 25s. There was a 1 in 50. There was a 1 in 100. There was a 1 in 200.
Jesus.
So, you know, we're already, just with our regular pull customers, meeting the threshold to get the 25 copies.
Nice.
Right.
So getting those is a bonus because nobody necessarily asks for them, but I buy them and I put them on the rack and I price them.
And they sell. And yeah.
They sell. Exactly. And that just – that helps out. But it would be really cool if somebody said, hey, you know – So I've got another guy, Jim. We've talked about him on the show before. He's the one that's got the ridiculous Silver Age collection.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
So he's an Adam Hughes collector. So anything that Adam Hughes does, he's got to have. And recently there was like a 1 in 50 Doctor Strange variant, and there was a 1 in 50 all new, all different Avengers variant that he did the covers of. Well, we don't order anywhere even fucking close to 50 copies of those books, and so I couldn't get them for him. So it would be awesome if I could say, yes, if you would like this book, it would be $50.
Right.
Pay for it. Here you go. You know, that would be super cool. You know, instead of having to possibly overextend ourselves, and then I'm sitting on a shit ton of product that's never going to sell.
Right, because they can equate whatever that cost of you ordering a certain amount of comic books to that one book. You know what I mean?
But that'll never happen.
Right, right. It'll no, never I'm, happen I'm with anymore. You because the point is to obviously the point is for them is for you to order and order and order and get them out of your, you know, out of your store.
Exactly.
But it's something it to think cool. about. Just something yeah, weird.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So there's this Lady Death Extinction Express book, and speaking of Mike Kirk, hi Mike. I think he listens to the show.
Hey Mike.
He likes the booby ladies, and so he's like, yeah, can you give me the 1 in 25 or the $25, you know, Lady Death variant? And I was like, of course, you know, let me order it for you. Special ordered it under his account so that when it comes in, it's his. Well, Diamond sent me an extra one. So the one time that they fuck up, they do something right.
In your favor.
You're all awesome. For once.
Sweet. Cha-ching. So I put it on the rack. I price it with everything else. Dude comes in the other day, and he's like, he's been in a couple of times. I don't know what his name is. I don't think he listens to the show. But if he does, that's all right, because I'm going to out him right now. So he's one of those guys who is always looking for a comic that's going to be worth more than it is right now.
Right.
You know, and so he'll ask me, he's like, well, what do you think's going to be valuable down the road? I was like, I don't fucking know, man. Pick a comic, any comic. Who cares? So he goes to the variant wall at the shop, and he's looking over stuff, and he picks up the foil Lady Death Extinction Express number one. And he's like, what's this? I was like, oh, it's just, it's a variant. It's a $25 variant to this Lady Death thing. So it's, he's like, what's the deal with all the chrome on the foil on the cover? I was like, I don't know. That's one of the
1999.
that's literally what I said to him. I was like, he's like, I've never seen this before. I was like, where the fuck were you in the 90s,
sir? That's all that came out was fucking die-cut chrome covers.
If that's going to blow your mind, just wait a second. Let me show you some shit.
I have some issues of Cage number one that I can sell you for, like, half price.
Right?
They're only going to be, like, $10 a piece.
Yes. It was just funny because I wanted to grab, like, all of the shitty 90s foil hollow chrome things and be like, yeah, this is $25 too, buddy. Oh, fuck, I'll take that. Do you have more?
Do you have more?
But it was hilarious. I just, like, that's the first time I've ran into something that, like that where somebody had really no idea, I guess. And so he bought his $25 copy of the foil Lady Death, and
so
I'm a happy camper.
What that tells you is that he's not a collector, he's an investor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like comic books is a really weird thing to invest in, because the chance that, like, that one specific thing within the huge market of comic books that came out, like, just that week is going to be the one thing that, like, even doubles in value.
Right.
Is so minuscule. Like, it's unbelievable.
Even if it quadruples in value, $150, $100, who cares? Like, it's not like you're making bank off of a fucking $25 book.
Yeah, it's just
right.
It just seems like a really bad investment strategy. Like,
I totally agree, but I will sell the shit out of that. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it speaks to, like, the different kinds of collectors. There's people that collect because they think they're going to make a ton of money off of comic books, and then there's people that collect because they like to read comic books, you know?
Right. And absolutely.
I feel like the three of us are in the camp that's like, yeah, I want to read that. Like, I don't care about the rest of it.
Right.
I was at the swap yesterday. There was a guy that had, like, a fucking table of slab books.
Right.
Like, a couple of them, I was like, oh, those are kind of cool, but I would never buy them because there's, like, a $50, like, overcharge because it's slab. Like,
right.
He had to pay $50, right. So he needs to make that $50 up. So if I want that book to read it, I have to pay an extra $50 for it.
To take it out?
To take it out of the thing to read it, and, like, thereby completely defeating the purpose of buying it. Like, I would never... Like, slab books have zero appeal for me.
So my issue when it comes to my Spider-Man collection is going to be when I need to buy those other ones. Like, I would probably spend $2,500 on a number one. Just
you could have yesterday.
Well, I know, and that's what I'm saying. I saw that. Not right now, obviously, in my life right now. But at some point, I would probably do it. To complete a collection if I needed to, but I would never – I'd just leave it. I wouldn't take it out because that's something that – not because I'd be like, oh, I got it slabbed, you know what I mean? But just because that's probably going to keep it more intact than just sitting on a shelf in a bag. But to collect it, I would probably spend the money to collect it.
Yeah.
Because that would be – because that would be cool.
Yeah. So it's just weird. It's just weird to see – I don't know. Like the guy that had a lot of that stuff at the swap yesterday slabbed. I mean, it was all – a lot of it was all newer things.
Yeah. Like,
you know, like
that's the trend.
That's the other thing that's weird to me is, like, in his box of, like, unslabbed stuff, he had, like, multiple copies of books that came out, like, 2 months ago. You know?
Right.
Like the Walking Dead variant covers that are coming out right now, like those aren't incentive. All you had to do was ask for them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they're not any different. The content isn't any different than the regular cover. It's just something cool for, like, the fans and people that want art. Like, I love connecting covers. I like that's a
it's
gimmick
cool.
that I can totally
right.
get behind. You know. But Image did the right thing in not incentivizing it. It's not like a 1 in 10 or anything ridiculous like that. You know, so you don't have to pay extra for it. But here's this guy that has multiple copies of it in his box just on the off chance that they're going to increase in value or that they're worth, you know, maybe $2 more than the regular cover.
And
there's like a mentality that is coming back that you see from the you've seen from the 90s. Like one of the things that I brought with me to the swap was the first issue of a magazine called Comic Book Collector's Guide. And on the cover, it has an issue of Harbinger number one from Valiant in the 90s. And it says $60 to $80. I can find fucking 200 of those for a dollar right now. You know, and that mentality of we're going to ratchet up the price because this is the hot thing right this instant is what made the comics market tank in the 90s. It's because they were overproducing to like meet this demand for quote-unquote collectibles. Like, I really, really hope we don't go that way because it makes for subpar comics. And, I mean, maybe I'm okay with the more glow-in-the-dark covers and the connecting covers. But
supernatural themed.
Yeah. I do love my glow-in-the-dark covers.
As long as it has something scary on the cover, Gabe will buy it.
But the reality is I know that my glow-in-the-dark Spectre isn't worth any more because it's glow-in-the-dark. My glow-in-the-dark, you know, Batman that has Deadman on the cover, it's not worth extra because it's glow-in-the-dark. I just like that, you know. I know that my, like you said, my Doctor Strange 50 that's got the hollow foil chrome shit, it's not worth more. It's just cool looking. But there's that there's that mentality, like the guy that you were just talking about, who thinks that that's worth more because it's got a chromium cover. It's in, he paid $25 for it. You know, most everybody else paid $25 for it. In 10 years, he's going to put it on eBay and somebody's going to pay $25 for it, you know?
Right.
John paid $5 for it.
No.
John probably paid like $20 for it.
I'm just kidding, John. So we haven't had you on in forever. What have you, what are you watching? What are you listening to or reading or whatever? What are you putting in that giant brain of yours?
I haven't watched anything TV wise. Like, it's still, we haven't finished Flash season two. I haven't started Flash season three. I haven't, there's nothing that I'm current on with regards to television shows at all. So
even yesterday when I saw him at the swap, I'm like, have you watched Luke Cage yet? He's all, no.
Oh, nope. It's so good.
It is so good. Yeah. Watch that first.
No Luke Cage, no Jessica Jones, no Daredevil.
You need to watch Jessica Jones before you watch Luke Cage, I think.
This is true.
Yeah. I've read some comic books. I don't know if you guys, if neither of you are getting them, but there's two new series from Image. One is called Seven to Eternity, and it's written by Rick Remender, and the art is done by Jerome Opeña. And it is fucking amazing. I have no idea what is going on, but it is amazing. It's beautiful. The art is phenomenal. It's like it's set in this I think it's just a different world, but there's kind of magic in this other world, and there's this class of magic users that there's this overpowering kind of military government force. And the guy who is in charge of that is called the Mud King. And he I sound like a crazy person trying to describe this, but that's my favorite type of comic. Like I read issue one. I have no idea what the fuck is going on, but I am in because the world, you know, the world development, the character development, it's amazing. It's going to be spectacular to see where it goes.
Nice.
But this family basically decides that they are going to separate from the Mud King and all of his, you know, his kind of dictatorial overbearing, you know, rules and regulations. And so they go off and they kind of live by themselves and they practice a form of magic that is kind of a dying form within this realm. And you know, it's like a father and his son and the son's wife, and then they've got kids, and so it's like this whole commune of rogue magic users, And then the Mud King sends these guys called Pipers, which are these giant fucking alien creatures that play flutes and open up portals. And I don't know what is going on, but it's awesome. It's amazing.
Dude, that sounds really cool.
So that's cool. Issue 1 came out last month. Issue 2 comes out next week.
I don't even know what's in my pool anymore because I haven't seen you in fucking like 3 months.
Yeah, you got a bunch. Not as much as Gabe. Got a bunch.
Good.
I had like almost a full soapbox. Yeah. Full of awesome shit.
Yes. Reborn is the new, is also an Image book that's written by Mark Millar, and the art is done by Greg Capullo, who came off of the new 52 Batman run. And the idea with Reborn is it's all about like what happens to you when you die. So the lead character in the story is this elderly lady whose husband was shot during a Milwaukee sniper, like shot a bunch of people and he died. And so she's in a nursing home kind of on her deathbed and she doesn't believe in God or any kind of religion. She passes away and then she is reborn into this afterlife realm where she's reunited with all the people from her past who have died, and it's like a weird sci-fi fantasy realm, and you know, there's crazy shit going on, and I have no idea what's happening, but it's a really good read. It's Mark Millar, he's pretty spectacular when it comes to comic book writing, and it's beautiful because it's done by Greg Capullo, who's an amazing artist. So that's another cool series that it's one of those where they've had such hype about them that it's one that I wanted to read when it came out. So I literally had to take it home on Monday when we got our order in and read it Monday night so that I knew what the hell I was doing.
That's awesome. That sounds pretty interesting too. You read good comic books.
I don't know
books.
If you guys – what's that?
I said you read good comic books.
I try. I read a lot of shitty comics too, but yeah. That's okay. All the Young Animal stuff that DC's putting out, I don't know if we've talked about that on the show before or not, but so DC has given Gerard Way, the lead singer from My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard about this, but I don't think we've talked about it.
They gave him his own kind of label. It's similar to like Vertigo. And so he is rebooting a couple of titles and then creating a couple of new titles. So the first one that came out was Doom Patrol. And Doom Patrol was like a weird teen book that were, I don't want to say losers, but just really, really bizarre character. You had like Negative Man and you had Robot Man and all these weird kind of people. And they would go solve crimes. You know, they're people that came about from the Silver Age of comics, and they've never really done anything until Grant Morrison took control of them in the 90s, and his run on Doom Patrol was insane. And so Gerard Way's writing Doom Patrol. I don't know who the artist is. So it's Doom Patrol, Shade the Changing Girl, Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye, and Mother Panic are the four titles that they're coming out with. And the three, so Doom Patrol, Cave Carson, and Shade are all out already. I think Mother Panic comes out next week.
Nice.
If you like super weird cerebral comics, these are right up your alley. Like, they are fucking awesome. Again, I have no idea what's going on. So the Doom Patrol book, it doesn't actually focus on the Doom Patrol characters. Like the character that's kind of the architect of the story is a paramedic, but she gets a rush going on her paramedic calls. And her partner are talking about how, like, they make a stop after taking somebody to the hospital. They go to a food truck and they pick up a Euro, and they're talking about how, like, there could be a whole other civilization living inside this Euro. And they eat a couple of bites, and then they get called out. And so the guy throws the Euro in the trash can. The art style changes, and it goes to that there is a fucking civilization that's inside this Euro. And that's where Robot Man is, and Robot Man like decides to leave this civilization, and so there's this explosion, and Robot Man flies out of this fucking Euro that's in a trash can, and I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it's really cool.
That's awesome. So like, I really dig Gerard Way's stuff. Like I really like Fabulous Killjoys, and damn it, the other book went right out of my brain.
Umbrella. Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. So I'm really interested in like the young animal stuff that he's doing, but I want to read it in trade because I remember like the way Fabulous Killjoys came out when I was reading it from issue to issue, because they're so dense and they're like so cerebral, I would get lost. So I got like 2-3 issues into it, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for all of these to come out and read them all at once. So like I'm excited to read them that way, and they sound fucking awesome. Like everything I've read about them is pretty cool. The artist on Doom Patrol is Nick Darrington.
Okay.
Sorry, I looked it up.
Oh, no. Shade was really good. Like, I read a 4-page preview in Shade, The Changing Girl, that was in another comic, and I was like, eh. But I took it home the other night, and I gave it a shot, and it's fucking awesome, too. Like, it's this alien, this female alien from another planet, steals this cloak, this, like, poet's cloak, that allows her, and then she leaves to Earth. So, like, Earth on their civilization is like, there's museums dedicated to Earth, and it's spoken very highly of, but at the same time how primitive it is. And so she steals this guy's cloak and goes to Earth because she wants to kind of find herself, and she inhabits the body of this girl who just passed away. And so, you know, the hospital's like, holy shit, she came out of her coma. They were getting ready to pull the plug. That's what it was. She was in a coma. They were getting ready to take her off of life support, but instead, you know, she's possessed by this alien creature. And so you read a little bit about that. You find out a little bit about the backstory for this alien creature. And then you start to delve into the backstory of the lady, the girl that she is possessing, and how she was a total ass. And like, her friends basically put her in this coma by giving her more drugs than she could handle when they were out partying one night. And it's like, holy shit, this is crazy deep. And it's awesome too. Like, I am loving all of the stuff that they're putting out right now.
Nice.
So yeah, if you're looking for good, weird things to read, 7 to Eternity, Reborn, Doom Patrol, Shade the Changing Girl, and Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye.
It sounds almost like Vertigo. Like,
it is, which is weird to me. I mean, that's in some of the back matter for, I think it was Doom Patrol, Gerard Way's talking about he used to be an intern at DC before he ever had a music career, and then he left DC Comics to go do his you know, My Chemical Romance thing. But he's always kind of maintained, he's done some stuff within the industry, and he's always maintained, you know, good camaraderie with all the folks at the publishing companies. And so he was talking about how he was really influenced by Karen Berger, and I can't think of the other lady's name who was in charge of Vertigo for many, many years. Oh, fuck, that's going to drive me nuts. Because he gives her credit in, I think it was Cave Carson. He talks about her in there. But, you know, he really wanted to take what they did with Vertigo in that time frame and do something similar to it for it, you know, right now. And so rather than put it all under Vertigo, they gave him this young animal imprint, which is weird because a lot of people see that, see young animal, and they're like, is this for kids? And I'm like, no.
You're like, no, oh, God.
If you like your mind fucked, this is the book for you.
Do you want your kid to have a dick scrambling up his brains? Then yes.
Right. Yes. Buy this comic.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it very much feels like the Vertigo of old, which is kind of cool.
And the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol run, didn't that come out on Vertigo?
I think it started in the same time like that Swamp Thing did and Animal Man, and then it,
yeah, where they were kind of like it eventually kind of became Vertigo, yeah, sort of thing.
It transitioned into that Vertigo imprint stuff.
Like, it's widely regarded as kind of like the most batshit crazy like superhero story. Yes. Like it's absolutely. I remember reading some of it like back when it was coming out and was like, I have no fucking clue what's going on right now. Oh,
but yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing recently. I'm trying to get through a bunch of comics because there's lots of stuff that's coming out. Speaking of Jessica Jones, her new series for the Marvel Now stuff has come out. There's all kinds of things that are out there to entice you to pick up a floppy.
Right. so many,
which you can
like
do
so
at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles in Parker, Colorado.
Drink.
Drink.
Shot. Oh man.
But yeah, as far as TV and movies, no, I'm stupid behind on all that stuff.
That's okay. So am I. Like,
so what you're saying is for Christmas, we need to gift you a TV for the shop.
No, you don't need to do that. I can get a TV for the store.
You can what?
I will just never get anything done ever again.
No. So what you do is you just put it on, like, so that it's physically in front of you. And while sure. you're, like, checking, like, stuff into your system or, like, you know, checking in comics while you're doing your diamond order, you just have it playing.
And but I would have to have TVs everywhere if that were the case.
What's that?
Because I am never in the same spot for more than a couple of minutes.
Well, then you just get a giant TV and hang it in the back so that you can see it from every angle, you know?
I would hang it from the little
the garage door. Is.
No, I would hang it from as you first come into the store on the right. I'd hang it on that wall. I mean, because you spend a lot of time up there, especially with customers, and that's one of the first things customers kind of interact with when they get there.
But you gotta be careful. I had an experience one time where, like, right around Christmas time, I went into a comic book shop that had a TV going, and I went in with my kids around Christmas time to buy some Christmas gifts, and the dude was watching Hellraiser. Like,
well, awesome. I'm sure he's not gonna be watching crazy stuff.
I'm just saying, like, don't throw in Faces of Death. Like, you're gonna watch it during open hours.
24/7 pornos on.
Yeah. I would visit that store more often.
Whatever. You've never been to a sex shop, so you don't get to talk.
I have, too. We talked about this in the last episode, I think.
I know. I just listened to that one.
Hey, you're listening to our show again. I like it.
Well, because I haven't been on, so I'm like, what are they talking about? I miss them.
I miss my friends.
And then I'm like, oh, I have something funny to say, but it's already recorded. So
We miss you too, man.
You make us better.
You make me whole.
That's not true, but that makes me feel nice.
Whole.
So, do you have an old man pick by chance?
Not an old man dick. No. Old man pick.
Old man dick pick?
Yeah, that too.
If I'm an old man, then I do have one of those.
Oh, shit. You don't have an old man pick, you said?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, so John doesn't have an old...
I do have, like, I'll talk about the guy at the fucking swap, because that'll be my old man pick.
We're going right into it.
I think we've talked about Kevin on the show before, I think. So there was a dude at the swap yesterday, and his brother, Kevin, is like the comics professor. I think we've talked about it. He basically gets paid to fly to San Francisco every week to teach a class on comics history.
Oh, that's right. Like, that's right.
We've actually talked to him twice for the show, and both times we've accidentally fucked up the recording.
That's lovely.
Juan hasn't done anything.
Dude, that guy is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
anyway,
Gabe's, bad at the recorder.
Sure. So his brother, I can't remember. I have his card here. Hold on. Let me get you his
Hold
name.
On.
Hold on.
I think it's Mark. I knew it started with an M.
One of those Christian names.
I mean, these two guys have basically been collecting comics their entire lives. And they do a thing called The Group, which is like, I don't know what the acronym stands for. It's something crazy about like greater urban panelologists, which I don't know that that's a real word, but they use it in their little acronym. So they basically get together, I think, once a month on a Friday night, and they talk about comics. They talk about old comics. I mean, these guys bought like Fantastic Four number one off the rack, which is fucking insane. And so one of the brothers, Mark, both of the brothers were there at the swap, but one of the brothers had like 9 long boxes at the swap filled with a bizarre assortment of comic books. Like, you'd start out in the A box and you'd be looking at some of the newer Avengers books, and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden, Amazing Spider-Man number one was in the box, and you're like, what the fuck is this doing here? Like, this needs to be in a top loader on a wall somewhere. What are you just putting this in the fucking comics for? And he had like old school Golden Age All-Star comics. He had like an old school Golden Age All-Flash comics. It was, and Dom made a comment about it because somebody, Dom made a post that said, you know, just FYI, if you missed out on the swap, you missed an Amazing Spider-Man number one. And I was like, but there was also first appearance of Punisher, first appearance of fucking just about everybody, the Inhumans, Black Panther, Ray Palmer's The Atom. I mean, these books were all in this guy's box at the swap.
There was a fucking pre-hero Brave and the Bold, like, in there. I mean, just like crazy, crazy stuff.
An insane run of Showcase, you know, the second and third appearance of Hal Jordan as the Green Lantern. Green Lantern number one. It was unbelievable to see some of that stuff that would normally be behind a glass case, locked up, under lock and key. You know, and you could only look at it if you're a serious inquiry.
And he literally had boxes full of that stuff. It was nuts.
It was unbelievable. And I got it was like a kid in a candy store. Like, I didn't buy anything except for a Phantom Stranger number 4 that I needed to fill in one of my gaps for my Mike Mignola run. But it was cool to see something and talk to somebody. You know, some of the All-Star comics, they were in poor condition. They had, like, pieces cut out of the covers. But he had them priced at $15. And, I mean, you can't ever find a Golden Age comic that's a superhero comic that's, like, all old-school JSA stuff for less than a couple $100. And so it was really cool.
Even my pre-code horror stuff, like my Black Cat Mystery that's pre-code and that kind of stuff, like, in that kind of condition, I still paid, like, $35, $40 for.
Sure.
Like, some of that stuff was nuts. Like, I don't know. I loved it.
So that was a treat. Like, I'm glad that I stepped away from the shop for a couple hours to go hang out with all my friends and also got to look at some really cool shit that you don't see all the time.
Juan's pining after Bulls. You.
He's I said, oh, I missed you.
Oh, see, sentimentality. Is that more than 4 syllables? Are you supposed to drink too now?
Drink!
Son of a bitch.
That's 7 syllables.
Sentimentality.
Yeah, it is. Holy shit. Ooh,
that's 2 drinks.
That's 2 drinks.
Not quite. That would be 8 syllables.
Ugh, damn it. Shot in half. Right in your mouth.
So right in your mouth.
So my old... My old man pick is seasonal oriented. It is the season for Halloween, and I love Halloween.
Me too.
Bailey went to homecoming, and then the day afterwards, you know, her and all of her friends and my family and their family, we all went to the pumpkin patch, and then we went over to her friend Alyssa's mom's house, and we decorated like Halloween cookies and all that stuff. And in the background, we watched one of my favorite Halloween movies of all time, Beetlejuice.
Nice.
You forget, like, you know, if you don't watch Beetlejuice all the time, you forget, A, how, like, risque it is. Like, Michael Keaton says some stuff where you're just like, oh, wow, my 9-year-old probably shouldn't have just heard that. But
while he's chilling in the brothel.
Yeah.
Completely holds up visually, joke-wise, just plot line. Every aspect of that movie is just as good today as it was when it came out. Like the claymation sandworms, the weird sculptures attacking them, the scene where they're, you know, singing,
Me said day-o.
Like, all of that stuff is just as funny and just as, like, visually stunning today as it was when it came out. And I think a lot of it has to do with how much of it is practical effects. Like, you know, the scenes where they go into the model of the town and they have to dig up Beetlejuice's grave, and they're digging up plastic and cardboard and all this other stuff because it's not dirt. They're in the model. Like, it's seriously one of the best movies that Tim Burton has ever made.
Agreed.
Like, I mean, I like Edward Scissorhands. I like, you know,
I'm not a fan of Edward Corpse Ride,
and my kids love Nightmare Before Christmas to the point where Bailey was putting Hannah and Sophia to sleep, you know, one night, And for bedtime songs, all three of them sat down and sang the entire This Is Halloween song, like word for word, including the five-year-old who has watched Nightmare Before Christmas like six times in the last 2 weeks. Like, it's, you know, I like all of those movies. Like, they're fun, you know, they're funny, but Beetlejuice is got to be my favorite Tim Burton movie. And it was fun to watch it with like a room full of people and everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody's laughing. You know, I'm not a huge Christmas fan. Like, I don't, you know.
Because he's got no soul.
Yeah, it's just
Christmas. Fucking curmudgeon.
Christmas is not my jam. But I love Halloween and hanging out with a bunch of people, just having fun, like, in that kind of Halloween spirit, like, which sounds super dumb. Because
you can't do that at Christmas time.
Christmas time is so much about – well, no, it's so much – about family and spending time with your family. And, you know, a lot of my family's moved away.
You can come hang out with us.
I know. And I don't.
We're family.
Halloween's about murdering your family. Well, no,
like, Halloween for me has always been about hanging out with my friends, you know.
I want to kill my dad instead of hug him.
Not hanging your friends, but hanging out with your friends.
Like, it's fun to hang out with my friends, and like, it in a lot of ways my friends are my family. So I find that I end up having way more fun at Halloween and way more stress at Christmas time. So Halloween's awesome, and I love it, and Beetlejuice is one of my favorite Halloween movies, and it's awesome to watch.
I'll be at work.
Well, I'll be at work on Monday too. Like, we're going to, you know.
I'm not, because we're motherfucking closed.
Oh,
yay. I'll probably be at work and not make any fucking money.
Hey, could you pay me $25 an hour and work me 40 hours a week and I could just come work for you?
No.
Damn it. It's worth a shot.
I can pay you no dollars an hour and you can work as much or as little as you want.
I'm there. I'm down.
Sold. So it's funny that you mentioned Beetlejuice because I had so... everybody knows what fucking Funko Pops are, right?
Right.
What?
Hopefully.
What are those?
Little vinyl doll things that are like Beanie Babies.
Explain to me how those are going to be worth money in like 15 years.
I don't fucking know, man. It's just like Chrome Lady Death, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They're literally the Beanie Baby of this generation.
Yes. But so Hot Topic did this blind box thing. They've done it a couple of times now where they have – there's all these pops that are in a box that are in another box that you can't see what the fuck it is. And they just released in the spirit of the season, they did this whole horror run that included like a Pinhead and included, I think, Freddy. Was it Freddy or Jason? It's one of the two. So it was Jason, Pinhead, Alex from Clockwork Orange, and Beetlejuice. And it's Beetlejuice that's in... whatever Alec Baldwin's name in the movie was, you know, when he takes over his clothes and his pants and stuff, and
right.
He's in like the black and white plaid shirt and the khaki pants. Simpatico,
buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So one of my customers went to Hot Topic and bought like six of these blind boxes, trying to get all four of them, and ended up with like five Beetlejuices. And I was like, "Yeah, bring a couple of them down to the shop. I'll try to sell them for you. And if not, maybe one of them will just hang out here." So
that's funny
because it's rad.
It is rad. I love Beetlejuice.
Careful, buddy. He might come to life.
How many times have we said his name now?
I know. Oh, shit.
We've said it enough times to bring him back and reverse him, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Home. Oh, man.
Well, John, I think we're at the end of this show.
Wow.
Well, we did it early because that's why I texted you at 7 or whatever, because my son and my daughter have birthday parties today.
I know. That's awesome. So, happy birthday to them.
I will let them know that John said happy birthday. He knows who you are. As Finn's dad.
There you go. That's right. That's accurate.
Isn't it funny how, like, as we have kids and start getting older, we stop being like Juan, John, and Gabe and start
being
Bailey's dad, Finn's dad, and Johnny's dad?
You're not a person anymore. You're just an adult.
You're like somebody's parent. You got to be responsible. It's fucking weird.
That is scary.
I hate it and love it.
as the kids in Mel glare at you. What did you say?
I said I don't like it. So much pressure to not ruin you.
Just don't be a serial killer. Just don't be a serial killer. Just don't be a serial killer.
Oh, man.
That's all we're shooting
just
for here.
Just don't support Donald Trump. Just don't support Donald Trump.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Not even that shit show. Fuck, okay.
Like, does that count as pop culture because he was the host of The Apprentice? Like, we get to shit on him? Like, this new season of The Apprentice blows.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully we will talk to you. Guess what next episode is?
What's next episode? 100?
Number
200?
No, number...
400?
Yeah, you haven't missed that many of them.
Number 50, sir.
We're halfway to tattoos.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
You're getting a tattoo, asshole.
I don't know about that.
You're getting a tattoo.
If we make it to 100 episodes and you haven't just completely given up, you're like, I can't do it. I hate you guys.
You've got 2.5 years to get over it still.
Is that how long it is still?
It's been 2.5 years so far to get to 50.
God damn. Who's the editor of the show?
Side note, for 90% of that, we've been on time. It's just because of how many episodes we put out. This last 2 months, I've put out probably 7 episodes.
You put out. You're so fucking easy.
Oh, buddy. See, I miss you. I miss it.
I miss you.
Oh, man.
Well, that's cool. 50, huh? That's 50. Pretty impressive.
So you got to have to be on.
Yeah, yeah. So no bullshit in 2 weeks. Don't. I'm not going to send you a message in 2 weeks for you to be like, oh, we're recording today.
Oh, are we doing it here? Or are we doing it? Where are we doing it at?
Because of the way you kind of screwed up the thing, Juan's house will be the 50.
My fault. That's fine. I'll quit.
Well, we were supposed to visit you 2 weeks ago.
I know. But that's when we all had Forrest Whitaker eyes, so we couldn't do it then. That would have been terrible. You guys would have gotten Forrest Whitaker eye. Everybody would have Forrest Whitaker eye.
All the listeners would have got it.
Oh, man. That's I hope Forrest Whitaker doesn't ever listen to this. So I'm never going to be on that
does.
Show.
Forrest Whitaker eye.
He's just that's crying.
Hashtag Forrest Whitaker eyes. This thing, maybe.
Tears only come out of the one eye.
But they just, like, it makes it rain out of that one eye. So terrible.
We're bad people.
Oh, shit. But it's funny.
Oh, it is.
Oh, man.
We are dumb.
So maybe you could convince somebody to watch the store for you while you actually come down and be here.
Whew, on a Sunday?
Whew. Yeah, buddy.
Might just have to close the store. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, God. Don't close the store
put up
for
a
that.
Sign that said for recording the 50th episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Like, it's a holiday. You're closed for fucking Halloween, but you can't close for us. I see how it is.
Halloween's a Monday, man. That's our normal close day.
I wasn't asking you to close the store.
I know. You don't have to close the store.
Jerks.
Jerks. How am I a jerk? I want you included.
How are we
so demanding when you put out one.
We just want of a you bitch. Here, John. I just want to feel you next to me.
Inside or
just all over.
All
inside,
over.
Outside, face. On just face on this space. Yeah.
I'll see if I can make that happen. I'd like to make that happen. That would be fun.
Yes, because we miss you very much.
We do.
And you have yet to see Juan's man cave, and it's fucking coming along swimmingly.
It is actually super cool down there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
By swimmingly, he means it has a pool.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Inside pool. We go swimming for 50th anniversary.
Oh, wow. There goes our entire Asian fan base.
Oh, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. He rubbed you wrong time.
So with the two next episodes, I think we're going to be averaging probably 350 to 400 downloads a month.
What? Is that good?
What?
Yeah, so we're almost, because we're at about 600 episode downloads right now.
That's awesome.
Okay. That is cool.
That means people actually listen to this.
And we're getting people from all over Europe. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Like, the United States obviously dominates because that's where we're at.
From there.
But we get people right. that listen from everywhere. I'm
from America.
Yeah, America.
I drink beer and watch an orange guy run for president.
No, that's what other people do when they're making fun of us.
European, I'm a
peanut. Oh, man.
Oh, well, Gabe, take us out, my friend.
All right, well, so, John.
And we're back!
John, since you haven't been with us for a while, I'd just like to remind you of the multiple ways that you can interact with us, Gabe, besides actually being on the show every once in a while.
How can I interact with you without actually being on the show every once in a while?
Well, you can find all of our social media venues, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, at our website, which is www.totlb.com, which will actually also lead you to all of the other great Barren Space shows. You can interact with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We'd love to have you talk with us, and we'd love to have your comments on our next pop culture classic, which is going to be From Dusk Till Dawn, the amazing Robert Rodriguez movie starring George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino.
And I think Savini's in that. Savini's in that movie, too. He designed all the costume work, and he's in the movie.
And it also has Danny Trejo in it. And
a very young, still-looking old Danny Trejo.
But
a super hot Selma Hayek.
Oh, God. Oh.
That woman's going to be
I hadn't watched it in a while, like the full cut with the bat, with, you know, with the language and all that shit. And I couldn't remember if she had her top off like all of the other ladies in the movie did. But she doesn't.
Pussy. Anyway,
I think that's going to close this show.
Either that or that has to open the next show.
Yeah, that's how we open the next show. Be sure to join us on social media. We'd love to hear what you have to say about From Dusk Till Dawn. You know,
join us.
Join us. Interact with us. The other way that you can interact with us is you can leave us a voicemail at 970-573-6148. If you join us on the fucking voicemail, you will be the first person to leave us a voicemail. We've been asking you guys to do this for like probably like 20 fucking episodes now. But please give us a call. Let us know what you think of From Dusk Till Dawn, or absolutely any opinion that you have about the show. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Wait. Remember, we had one voicemail already. Remember?
Oh.
You don't remember?
What was it?
Let's listen to it.
Please listen to this important message from GoDaddy. This is GoDaddy calling to say thank you and do a quick review of your account to ensure everything is going as smoothly as possible. If you have any questions, please contact our customer development team at 480-505-8859. Thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you. GoDaddy appreciates your business. If you missed any of the previous message, will repeat.
All right, so you'll be the first real-life person to leave.
You didn't hear any of that?
No, I did not.
That's weird.
It's a voicemail from GoDaddy asking us if we enjoy GoDaddy. So, yes, be sure to give us a call, 970-573-6148. You'll be the first person to be a living, not robot, to leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear what you have to say about any of the pop culture classics we've discussed, whether it be 8 or Bloodsport or From Dusk Till Dawn, you know, whatever. The ways that you can support us to help us buy equipment that hopefully Gabe won't break all the time touching it. I know.
Did he break something?
Oh, no. He just couldn't fucking get it to work. Me and Mel were like, set it up in 2 seconds for him. But I had to physically move him from one mic to another because he jacked one up.
And mine was set up perfect. Wouldn't stay up.
He sat down in my chair and fucked it up again.
I don't believe that you can physically move Gabe. I'm just saying. I don't think that's real.
He enticed me with a cookie. He's like, come over here.
I got some tree trunk legs. I bet I could get him up off the ground.
Thunder thighs.
It may not be
there
for very long, but I bet I could get him up off the ground.
Anyways.
I'm glad you added off the ground. That was creepy.
The reason nobody ever goes to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TOTLB, is as soon as I talk... talk about it. You guys get fucking sidetracked so bad that nobody knows.
So easy.
Anyway, you can visit us at patreon.com/TOTLB. Kick us even like $1 a month. They'll get you some cool incentives. We should have stickers coming soon, yep. And we can get you guys – we get shirts for each individual. And then at the end of the show, we obviously say the names of everybody that supports us on Patreon. The other thing that you can do is you can also go to amazon.totlb.com. It takes you directly to the regular Amazon search page, mm-hmm. And you can just purchase whatever it is that you always purchase through Amazon, whether it be your DVD copy of Bloodsport because you're like, I've never seen that, and that sounds fucking amazing, except for that shitty child actor that plays Frank Dukes at the beginning of the movie. So visit us at amazon.totlb.com. Buy whatever it is that you normally buy on Amazon, and we just get a kickback. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it doesn't, you know, take you any more time than it normally would. So those are all the different ways that you can join in this conversation and be a part of our show. Be sure to go to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcast aggregator you use to listen to our show and give us a review. It helps basically get more people to listen to the show, because if we get good reviews, they start to go to the top of lists, and then people will listen, and then those people can join us in the conversation too. So we love to hear what you have to say. With that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm John.
And this has been episode 49 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Fart noise, John.
What?
Fart noise. There we go. There we go. We'll see you next time for episode motherfucking 50. We're halfway to tattoos.
Later, woo, nerds.
Woo.
Bye.
Nerds.
This bar is for bikers and truckers only. You get out.
I'm Dave Pendejo.
Take your hand off of me.
I'm going to count to three.
I'm going to count to three.
One.
Two.
Now, wait a minute. There's no reason to get ugly. There's just a misunderstanding going on here. You said this bar is for truckers and bikers? Well, I'm a truck driver. If you look outside your door in your parking lot, you'll see a big recreational vehicle. That's mine. In order to drive that legally, you need a Class 2 driver's license. This bar is for truck drivers? I am a truck driver. These are my friends.
Welcome to the Titty Twister.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.